hearing.
It's what you hearing. Listen. It's what you hearing. Listen. It's what you hearing. Listen.
Who the fuck is that guy?
X don't give it to you. Fuck, wait for you to get it on your own. X don't deliver to you. Knock, knock. Open up the door. It's real.
Chasing after the great whale. But it
Moby
goes.
Dick.
It goes as Ahab went, sinking to the bottom of the ocean when he failed.
Did you ever actually read Moby Dick?
No.
Me neither.
Nobody has. I don't even know if he caught the fucking whale or not.
Yeah.
You know what it really is? It's a dude that didn't learn the whole, dude, there's plenty of fish in the sea metaphor. Like, that's how Roy Moore happened.
Yeah, I forget what the story was. I think the whale killed him in the end.
I hope so.
Whaling's weird, huh?
It's a fucking weird... It's a fucking... Only people do it are the Japanese and some of the Scandinavians.
Can you imagine, though, like a couple hundred years ago, going out on a rinky wooden boat trying to harpoon a fucking whale?
Can
like
you imagine?
That's like hardcore shit. Nobody does that anymore.
Imagine
for good reason.
Imagine living in a time when you thought the earth was flat and seeing a fucking whale. What the hell? No wonder the Bible's got all, like, there's these great beasts and all this shit. We wonder, like, where do dragons and all this come from? What do you think a whale is? It's a fucking monster from the deep. Like, look at that thing. It's gigantic.
It would be real interesting if, like, flat earthers decided to, like, go back in time and do all these things that actually used to happen back then. Like, you needed, like, whale blubber to, like, light your lamps and shit. Like, they should go full old school 1500s, give up electricity, eat rotten meat, and, I mean, I guess you can still play for the Celtics, but...
Well, what you're saying is that you want them to live as America would if the Paris, if peace accords were in... It's not peace accords. Damn, I fucked that up. Anyways, everybody, you're listening to MMA and stuff here at HalfGuarded.com. I'm Mike, that's Matt, and did you know that the flat earth theory is not the weirdest theory out there? The weirdest theory out there, which I fucking read about yesterday, is that Finland is fake. Finland does not exist. Fucking kid you not.
Well,
this is a real theory that says that Finland is actually East Sweden. The people that we call Finns live in East Sweden, and what we call Finland does not exist. The United Nations, Russia, and the Japanese have created this conspiracy so that they could just keep whaling fishing in that sea, but they called it Finland so that nobody would investigate their horrible abuses. And as the kicker, it's called Finland because fish have fins. This exists out there, people, and I know which way they voted.
I am unfamiliar with that theory. I'm skeptical of that. The only thing I know about Finland, it's got Helsinki.
That actually makes more sense to me than flat earth. I can completely buy
there's a
bunch of countries just mislabeled in areas so that they could fucking mine the resources. I mean,
like they're all sharing it. Like, this has never come up. Like, it's all a big secret between those countries. Like, no one's gone to war over this property or anything. Like,
well, it was after the war. It's probably divvied up. We haven't really gone, like, a major... Look, I'm not saying this theory has... It fucking falls apart after about 2 seconds, all right? It's a fucking theory in which Finland is made up. It's not exactly rock solid here. Just go with me, all right? It makes more sense than flat earth. Actually, I don't know if it does.
You
kind of understand the flat earth.
That's harder. To believe there's a fake country that a couple countries control is more believable than, like, there's an ice wall that no one can get past and the earth just ends and I don't know if you fall off or what the hell happens. But, yeah, I don't know much about Finland except they had, like, good soldiers. Didn't they? They were the ones that, like, Russia had a hard time with, right? That's all I remember about Finland.
Probably. I know that all those Scandinavians... Look, people think that these countries have great warriors and soldiers. Like, the Russians are also tough. They're not. They just fucking live in cold areas.
That's hard.
It's really fucking tough to fight in the snow. That's all they are. They're just snow people.
Yeah. It's weird, like, Napoleon and Hitler couldn't figure that out, but...
I mean, if those two brains can't figure it out, what can we say?
They were doing good until it got cold out, idiots. Anyway.
It's not like a baseball player. They were doing really well until the frost hit them, and then all of a sudden the fastball just wouldn't snap anymore.
So this past weekend, we had a couple shows, but I feel like there's a lot we could talk about this week in the MMA world. So let's get right into it here. This past weekend on Friday, it wasn't really Friday night here. This was a tape delay show from Dublin. It was Bellator 187. Main event was AJ McKee defeating Brian Moore, but that wasn't the newsworthy event. On the opener of the main card, Charlie Ward defeated Johnny Redmond. But right at the bell, Conor McGregor jumped in to the cage to celebrate Ward's win. There's been some controversy about whether the referee, Mark Goddard, had really stopped the fight or if he was just stepping in between because it was the end of the round. Officially, it's been called a knockout at 4:59 of the first round. But right as Goddard was stepping in, Conor jumped the cage, tackles his teammate from SBG, Charlie Ward. Then he proceeds to, like, Goddard tries to break him up and get Conor away from him. Conor kind of pushes Goddard. Goddard's checking on Redmond, who's the guy who just got knocked out. Conor goes after the referee, Mark Goddard. Then he jumps out of the cage. Then he climbs up on the cage and slaps some guy who works for Bellator. It was quite a melee, and it was all over the internet that day. Then it turns out this is like Bellator's highest-rated show of the year. It did over 1 million viewers for the opening quarter hour. Like, they averaged like 650,000 viewers. This did like 1.1 million viewers. And then the ratings just dropped the rest of the show because people wanted to tune in to see Conor.
He's a god, isn't he?
He is impressive.
Think about that. He doubled Bellator's fucking ratings on like 3 hours' notice on the internet. Holy shit.
Yeah. The thing that's weird about the whole situation is...
Just one, yeah.
No, there's multiple. But one is, like, Conor wasn't a corner man. He was there essentially as a fan who jumped the cage.
Oh, no, sorry. I don't know if you saw the memo. Conor McGregor, in every single fight he wants to, is allowed to wander around the outside of a cage. That's just part of his special relationship he has with the world.
Yeah, yeah. And the other factor is it's Bellator. It's not even a company he works for. So
it works there, too. It's like the full faith and credit clause in the United States Constitution, whereupon each state acknowledges they will recognize and enforce the contracts, laws, and thereof enforced by other states. Bellator knows Conor McGregor's your bitch. You know, he'll do what he wants. Continue.
So, Mike Mazzulli is basically the head of the ABC, the boxing commission or whatever, and he was at this show in Dublin. He apparently does all the commission work for these overseas events, places that don't have their own commissions. He does this for Bellator.
This asshole gets free first-class fucking airfare to countries all over the world so they can have the ABC sanction it.
Mazzulli obviously wasn't happy with McGregor's behavior. He said he put people in danger. The guy who just got knocked out couldn't get medical attention because Conor's yelling around the ring and pushing people. And he doesn't really have a way to punish him because it wasn't like...
He had no power?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he's claiming that he already talked to UFC officials, and he's saying UFC already sanctioned Conor, so they did hit him. He's not going to be making any more money this year, and I commend UFC for doing that. So he's essentially claiming that UFC pulled him, Conor McGregor, from UFC 219, which he hasn't even been announced for yet and wasn't really in discussions, as far as we know, to fight on that show.
No, I also heard that they punished Conor. They said he will not be fighting at the UFC show in Shanghai. He's not going to be on that card. Conor's not going to fight in Detroit either. He's being punished. He's losing a lot of fights because of his behavior here, you fucking morons.
Do you think he should give him sort of a punishment? Can anybody just jump into a cage whenever they feel like?
I think that what Conor did was a dick move.
Okay.
And I think it was a dick move basically for one reason, and That is, a grown man lost a fucking fist fight in front of millions of people because of Connor, millions of people, lost a fist fight and was laying there half unconscious, and Connor was making it a spectacle. And I know that a lot of us smarter people get into this kind of like pro wrestling view of promotion. Like, it's not just MMA, but, you know, in the NFL or anything, where we just kind of get focused on this, what's best for business. You know, this attracted eyeballs, and it did. They had double the viewers that they usually have. That's fucking incredible. But this isn't fake. This is real. That's a real man who just lost a fist fight. And losing a fight like that, that's a real, real fucking big deal. Like, you lose a fight, you can see, like, when the way that Clay Guida was after he beat Joe Lozon. And he immediately went over and comforted him, because he knows that that is one of the most unique experiences a man can go through. And for Connor to fuck with it like that, it was real bullshit. I know he's excited and happy. And you know what? It also took away from the guy who won, his teammate. You just fucking won a fight, and all of a sudden, Connor's getting all the glory. Suddenly, instead of being able to run around the cage going, oh my gosh, I feel like a god, because you feel like a god when you win, you had to stop and go, oh, wait, my teammate's okay. I thought that he did a huge disservice to those people, and he's done it before. So this is, like, this is Connor being Connor. As far as punishing him, I don't know. I don't know what they would do with anybody else who tried something like this. He didn't hurt anybody. It looks stupid. What are they going to fucking do? Commissions don't have power. They've never had power. Fucking Conor McGregor was allowed to box. He fought the greatest fighter of all time in a generation, and he never boxed before. So I'm supposed to think these fuckers give a shit about health, safety, law, and order? They're going to do some bullshit like saying, well, he lost that payday in UFC 219. I think he's learned his lesson.
Right. It's always a question of, should everyone be treated the same? And yes. Usually people, well...
But they won't be, but they should.
Right, I mean, you should have the same set of rules, but, I mean, I think we've talked about, does Connor deserve some perks other guys don't get? Yeah, should he be treated the same as the 15th-ranked flyweight in the world? I apologize to whoever that is right now, but probably not. He gets some perks other guys don't. Should he be allowed to jump in the cage like that? No. But, again, it's a weird spot because... I don't know who would... It would have to be UFC who would have to sanction him, and I don't know what right they have to sanction him when nobody, I don't think, has pressed charges against him. The guy he slapped could easily sue him for that. It's on camera, and you've got, like... He slapped him with his left hand, his knockout hand, you know what I mean? Like, you could claim your jaw's all fucked up and get easy $1 million out of that.
I think that there's something, though, to be said for... As much as we think... You know, the law should apply equally to everybody, which we know when it doesn't, but even if we think it should, we don't really think it should, because we've always had, depending on where you are in life, we impose greater standards of behavior on different people. You know, we would expect the CEO of a company to apply more discretion than we would the worker bee. That's just, you know, that's natural. He gets more money for it, so fuck him. You know, more money, more problems. That's part of the deal. Maybe it's more problems, more money. Hey, huh? You ever think about that, black people? Ugh. But I think there's also something to be said with, if the 15th ranked flyweight in the world jumped in the cage like this, we'd all go, what's going on here? Because the 15th ranked flyweight wouldn't think he could do that, whereas Connor, he is different. Like, it's kind of like... It's more of a civil concept than a criminal one, but I think that you have to look at behavior is how would an ordinary person in that situation act, but Connor's situation is not ordinary, and he's not ordinary, and anybody in that situation would act different. It's kind of like when you watch football, and when guys are in the trenches, and they're beating each other, and they're calling each other, oh, fuck your mom, and this and that, or whatever, like, you wouldn't say that to any other coworker. But in football, you go, well, yeah, they're playing football. Well, it was fine. He said, I'm going to fuck your mom. This grown man that plays a sport where you have to have a helmet. The only fucking sport where you do. So he's stupid. My point is that Connor, it doesn't matter. He runs the world. She's going to fight Oscar De La Hoya and make another $100 million.
So we're going with the idea that Connor won't get any punishment for this, because that's kind of, I think it's just going to go away.
All this, your audio sounds awkward all of a sudden.
Huh.
Oh, now you're
not
okay.
Not sure why.
Like, they're going to do some sort of bullshit, like, public punishment, but look, he fucking threw a can into a crowd of people, smacked some kid in the head, and they didn't do anything. Oh, here's your $25,000. Like, fuck. What do you expect?
Did you see Connor's apology?
Yo, the, sorry, guys, but I had to step in there and save that young fighter's life apology.
That was really odd, because he started off, I sincerely apologize for my behavior at last week's event in Dublin. Then, like, a paragraph or two down, he's like, he spells Mark Goddard's name wrong. He says the referee, Mark Gonard, which is another
Gotard.
Or Gonad. Was making a horrendous decision in trying to pick an unconscious fighter up off the floor and force the fight to continue into the second round, even against the wishes of the said fighter's coach. The fight was over. After witnessing my fighter in a fight where the worst happened and the opponent passed away from his injuries on the night, I thought the worst was about to happen again, and I lost it and overreacted. I am sorry to everyone. So
yeah,
he's claiming he was in the cage and they were going to restart the fight and go to the second round, and that's why he lost his cool and started pushing Goddard and slapped the guy from Bellator, apparently, is his claim. But again, that's not really an apology when you diss the referee and you bring up this other situation where somebody died. It's like excuses and blaming somebody else, and it's just like a shit apology, in my opinion.
Why are you apologizing? Like, if I was walking down the street, as I often do, and I saw a man punching a child, as I often see, if I decided to stop it, I wouldn't say, sorry, I stopped you from hitting a kid. I'd be like, no, fuck you. You're hitting a kid. I had to stop you. I'm not going to apologize for that. If you think that the referee is putting somebody in danger, what are you apologizing for? Either you saved this fighter's life, or you're an attention-seeking glory hog who should shut the fuck up because you jumped in the cage. You wanted to celebrate, and in reality, your coke fucking riddled brain got touched by the referee. So, who do you think I am? And guess what? He's right. Mark Goddard should know better than to put his hands on Conor McGregor. One of you is worth $2,500 a night, the other one is worth $250 million.
Did you see Goddard's response? Because he wrote something.
Oh, I put it on the site.
And
it's 2,300 words.
And what did you think of his take on it?
Oddly enough, for something so long, which I'm not going to lie, I didn't read the whole thing because it was so fucking long, but it wasn't controversial. It was very, this is what happened. He was throwing a lot of passive-aggressive shade at Connor. And I say shade because I'm down with OPP. But I paused like I was expecting somebody to laugh, but in reality, I just had nothing else to say. He explained himself. It was fine. It's dumb. I actually give him a lot of credit when he said, I don't want anything to happen to anybody else. Don't fuck with Connor. Let's just let it go away. Like, that's a guy. I've always thought Mark Goddard, like, in the cage, actually, he's always done a good job. I would thought the tattoos, I don't know what it is. I know it's a little hypocritical, but when I see referees with tattoos everywhere, I'm like, I don't totally just trust your judgment right here. Like, you don't, like, at least put a full-sleeve shirt on. Then I can appreciate that, you know, yeah, but he's a good referee, man, and I hope he refs Connor's next fight.
Me too. That will be awesome. So, I guess we'll see what happens, if any, there's a fine or some sort of punishment for Connor, but I don't know how they would do it because he wasn't actually on the card. He could obviously be sued by the guy he slapped, but we shall see what happens. The rest of that Bellator card didn't have much going on.
You know, that's funny. That's actually a good point. You don't usually see a situation where a fighter who's not licensed to be on the card does something where the commission would be like, I don't know, do we have jurisdiction over you for this or not? Like, you're one of ours, but you're just a fucking dickhead from the card. You're not even licensed here.
It would have to be whatever state he fought in next Do you know what I mean? Like, Nevada would have to sanction him, but what does Nevada have to do with what he's doing in Dublin?
Nevada wouldn't do shit. What they would do is say, if Dublin did something, then they would, then Nevada could do it.
I don't even think Dublin has a commission. That's why Mazzulli's there for the ABC, or he's also with the Mohegan Tribal Commission or something.
Oh, that's right, of course. Because when you want prestige and you want people to have confidence in you, it's a good idea to also be associated with the Mohegan Sun Casino. You fucking dickheads. Connor should just fucking take all these people for all the money he can and get the fuck out. They're all crooks, and he's the only guy saying, like, fuck the crooks. He's the Donald Trump of MMA. He's going to clean up the swamp that is the boxing athletic commissions. Boxing great again.
Yeah, that's Jack going Parker. Well. Baby Slice won on the undercard. There's more Conor McGregor news, too. Oscar De La Hoya says he's training for a fight with Conor. He says he's been secretly training. On his podcast, do you know what his podcast is called?
Oh, fuck. It's going to be cringeworthy.
Pretty much, yeah. That's why I brought it up.
Is it the Golden Podcast?
Golden Boy Radio.
Mine was better than that. Jesus Christ, man.
On Golden Boy Radio, he said, "You know I'm competitive. I still have it in me. I've been secretly training.
If you're competitive, you don't get up for fighting somebody that's never won a fight before. Competition implies you want to challenge yourself. You don't say, you know, I've always been really competitive, and then you kick a toddler in the head.
I can still crush my daughter at basketball. I'm faster than ever and stronger than ever. I know I can take out Conor McGregor in 2 rounds. I'll come back for that fight. 2 rounds, just one more fight. I'm calling him out. 2 rounds, that's all I need. That's all I'm going to say. You heard it on Golden Boy Radio. 2 rounds, that's all I need." What a badass Oscar De La Hoya still is at 44 years of age.
Dude, If it was 2 rounds, I'm telling you right now, over under 2 rounds, Conor McGregor walks on that shit. I mean, I could fucking last 2 rounds with De La Hoya, I bet. You give me 6 months training to last 2 rounds, I'm not saying I'd do well, but I bet you I could fucking run away for 6 minutes. I could do that. Yeah. Although, I will say, the idea that De La Hoya and Mayweather could fight, McGregor, I hadn't considered that. That's perfect. It's got the same amount of doubt and bullshit that the Mayweather fight had, only more of it, and we've seen Conor do well in boxing. Oh, can you imagine the takes? Oh, because think about it. I have more confidence that Conor could beat De La Hoya than I would he could beat Mayweather.
Oh, definitely.
But at the same time, De La Hoya is one of the greatest who's ever done this sport. Conor still, you know, not won a fight. That's always going to be a bit of a negative on your resume there, but shit, he did so well against Mayweather, and what else am I going to see? Fuck it. I want to see Conor McGregor fight Oscar De La Hoya in boxing more than I want to see him fight Tony Ferguson. I want to see Ferguson and Khabib more.
Yeah, it's weird, box, isn't it? Kinda.
Yeah, I just want to see him box. Just fucking more freak show shit.
I don't know I don't know what it is about Conor if it's just based on that Mayweather fight. But, like, I'm less interested in seeing him now than I've ever been. And I don't know if it was all that hype, or if he's just, like, too much of a gimmick for me now. Because for a while, when he was doing I Predict These Things and that whole thing, I was buying into it. I'm like, this guy's crazy. He beats Mendez. He knocks
beats
out Aldo.
Yeah.
He destroys. I feel like that's like a long time ago, and I don't know if it's the partying, the videos, the wasting the money, jumping in the cage of Bellator, but I feel like the next time he fights somebody good in MMA, a Ferguson, a Khabib, even somebody like Nate, I feel like he's going to lose just because he doesn't have his head screwed on, and he's not that humble, hardworking dude anymore. It's like, I don't know if the money changed him or what, but it's just a vibe I get that he's not... He doesn't have his head screwed on, and he's not as hungry anymore, and he's not as dedicated, and he's going to get his ass handed to him the next time he fights.
He's a boxer now. No, think about it. Everything you're describing about him, it sounds like a boxer. parties more. He only fights sporadically. You're more like, I want to see whatever he's going to do next because it's going to be some sort of spectacle. But you're right. I don't look at him as like anybody, like everybody else for the most part in MMA. I look at them and I go, that's the best fucking, like TJ and Cody Garbrandt. That was the best fucking two dudes in the world. Conor McGregor, when he fights, though, I don't feel like I'm watching a fighter. I feel like I'm watching something bigger. It's more pop culture. It's more unique. But, yeah, Khabib's a fighter. You know, Tony Ferguson is a fucking fighter. Conor is, you know, he's moved beyond fighting. And he's going to make more money. But, yeah, he's not. It doesn't feel like he can actually do it in MMA. Because I think MMA, we've all just rightfully still become accustomed to, that's a sport where you can't fuck around. Like there's no such thing. Like in boxing, some guys are just so preternaturally talented, like Floyd. Well, Floyd obviously works hard, but these guys have this super skill, and maybe there's not as much depth nowadays or whatever. But MMA, you'll get destroyed. The sport is a grind. It has that wrestling base at its heart. And Conor, you know, maybe he is training real hard, and we just see the gimmick. But if he's not, I mean, he's going to get the, I don't know if Tony would be winnable, but if it's Khabib, I mean, holy shit. Can you imagine what Khabib's going to do to him on the ground?
It won't be good.
Oh, my. It's going to be wonderful.
It's funny, too, because it's only been a year. I mean, that Alvarez fight was literally 12 months ago, like a week, and a week.
Yeah,
53
that's
weeks
like 12
ago.
Months of cocaine, man.
I hear you. It'll be interesting, but just some of the bloom is off the rose. Is that the same?
Yeah, it is. But I have no idea what bloom is.
I don't know. I picture like a dying rose, like petals falling off of it.
Look, to me, roses exist in three states. They're, you know, starting up blooming, then they exist, and then there's the bloom off of them, which must be the death.
Mm. Roses.
Yep, they also all of them have thorns.
I hate roses. It's such a shitty flower.
Wow.
Like you can't touch them. They have thorns. Like,
can't touch MC Hammer either, and he's awesome.
There is more Bellator news. We're going Bellator heavy here. Have you heard about their heavyweight title tournament coming up?
Oh, have I heard about the tournament that Glover Teixeira is going to win? Yes.
Is Glover in Bellator now?
No, somebody doesn't read all the updates on the site, although we have those pop-up problems. No, he's not in it at all. He's still in the UFC, but going from the history of Strikeforce, Scott Coker, somehow somebody that's not in a tournament that you'd never really expect is going to win this fucking thing. Or it could be Jack Swagger.
So for a long time, Bellator has not had a heavyweight champion. I couldn't even tell you who they're like. I think it was Volkov or somebody. But they haven't had a heavyweight champ in well over a year, so they're going to do a tournament now. And the eight fighters announced for the tournament so far are Fedor Emelianenko, Frank Mir, Matt Mitrione, and Roy Nelson. I only say four because those are the only heavyweights in the tournament. Then we also have their current light heavyweight champ, Ryan Bader, former UFC champ Quentin Jackson, who recently signed a new deal with Bellator, ex-Strikeforce title holder King Mo Lawal, and Chael Sonnen, who I don't think has ever fought at heavyweight in his career, fighting at 205.
You mean ex-WEC champion?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
I was going to say, like, he's won a title, kind of.
He's fought for titles in the UFC as well. 0-3, but...
He's like all I can think is all these other people have real accomplishments, and he's like the guy on, like, the Academy Award, like, the poster for the movie, like, Academy Award winner, Academy Award winner, Academy Award nominee. It's like, oh. Yeah, so Chael Sonnen's an Academy Award nominee fighter who's going to be in a heavyweight tournament featuring it's going to be a shit show. This thing is it's a fucking joke. Mm. It really is. Like, there's so, like, any hot take, any fuck this stuff people want to have, I get it. I'm with you. I'm really excited, and I was excited before I heard the other news. And the other news was that they're looking to book in the first round Fyodor Emelianenko versus Frank Mir.
Mm-hmm.
I've had this dream for years about this fight. Ever since the UFC, because I thought, how weird is it? Mir is the only guy to destroy Nogueira and Krokop. He beat two-thirds of that great triune that dominated Pride, the three greatest heavyweights ever. I wonder, and I always had in my head, I'm like, I hope Fyodor signs with the UFC and he fights Frank Mir in his first fight and Mir fucks it up so he can beat the three greatest ever. And now this motherfucker's going to get a chance to do that. We're going to live in a world where Frank Mir will have beat the three greatest heavyweights ever. What the fuck is going on? How is Donald Trump president? I don't understand the fuck. A pedophile is going to be a fucking senator. Men are women. Trans black is something that we've all accepted somehow. I don't know what's going on anymore.
Who out of all those eight guys, not knowing Bader. The brackets? Me Bader. Too. Bader.
He's the only real fighter.
Yes.
Every single one of those guys is past their prime, and Bader, you know, he's still got the good juice. On steroid. He's a steroid user. He looks like a cartoon.
The other one who I might say has a chance, depending on how it all works out, is Roy Mitrione. Nelson. Maybe.
I would go Roy Nelson.
You think Nelson? Yeah.
Because he can hit hard. But if he knows how to fight. True. Like Mitrione isn't a fighter, and he's got weaknesses. Nelson's just Nelson's somebody that matches up with everybody, and he can win.
Mm.
Like Mitrione, there's a lot of those guys you go, oh, what the fuck's he going to do with, like, Ryan Bader? He's going to get fucked by Ryan Bader. But Nelson, he's bad enough that he can hold his own. He's also, like, 43, and he's sponsored by Burger King. Welcome to your next Bellator champion.
The tournament bouts will begin tested throughout 2018, with the current plan calling for one tournament fight per night at seven yet-to-be-decided Bellator events. The final is tentatively scheduled for December 2018.
Yeah, the word tentatively is being abused there.
Do you think...
it's like Roy Moore's allegedly into teenage girls. Yeah, allegedly.
I hate tournaments. At least it's not in one night, but it's like, you know that somebody's going to win and get hurt, not be able to fight the next fight. Somebody's going to get subbed in. The sub will win. Then I like when they have these tournaments and it's two guys in the finals who weren't even in the first round. That's my favorite.
Oh, yeah.
That's happened multiple times.
That's basically what happened with Strikeforce last time. These fuckers booked a tournament for Fyodor to win it all. He loses in the first round, and somehow Daniel Cormier ends up winning it, even though he was like 3-0 when this tournament started and wasn't even in the damn fucking thing, and now he's a light heavyweight. That's why I think Glover Teixeira is going to win this thing.
That's a theory.
Look at the way the Bellator is. They just signed UFC castoffs. Glover is the perfect guy for them to sign because he has a bit of a name, but he's not really that great. He's never going to be anything super great. He's reached his peak, and his contract is the point where if the UFC gets rid of him, nobody's going to give a shit. He's previous generation, and Bellator signs, you know, everybody, so it doesn't matter. I mean, if you'll sign Ben Henderson, he's really no different than Ben Henderson. If they're signing some no-name chick from Hawaii to be your champion, you can bring in Glover Teixeira, a proud Brazilian who has, I don't know, actually been caught cheating yet, which is weird.
I feel like he did something. Maybe not.
I think it's just because he's Brazilian, we all assume.
Yeah, but he lives in, like, Connecticut. He's not a real Brazilian. He left. Yeah,
him in the... What's with the fucking Northeast? Because he lives there, and I know Gabriel Gonzaga lives either in Connecticut or Massachusetts.
Yeah, he lives out in, like, Western Mass, like Ludlow. He won his boxing debut a couple weeks ago.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Why? I don't understand why anybody who's Brazilian would live in Massachusetts. Maybe Boston, because it's, like, a major city.
But yeah.
It's like... You look at all of our ancestors. You know why there's so many Norwegian people, like people of Norwegian ancestry that live in Minneapolis? Because it looks like fucking Norway. Yeah. All the Norwegians came over, like, huh, well, that looks kind of like where I was at home. Let's move there. Well, you're from Brazil. What the fuck looks like Brazil in Massachusetts? There's no half-naked butt-fucking baller babes. I'm doing a lot of weird alliteration. In bikinis with their bare breasts. I'm nailing it. On the beach.
No, there's not a lot of that. There are, however, there is a pretty big Portuguese population on Cape Cod, because in the summer and stuff, there's jobs and work, and it's like I've grown up working with so many Brazilian men and women in kitchens and stuff that, but like I.
Hello? I don't hear anything. Anybody else hear anything? I know they don't. Oh, you're kind of coming in there, Matt, but you're not there yet. All right, people. Matt's going to probably be saying some things in the background right now. He's probably hearing me say this. Nothing
can
really
you hear me?
No, I can kind of hear him now. It sounds like he's in a submarine.
I feel like every week this cord gets looser and looser in this jack.
Well, cords are much like women.
Sure. A unique person. Anyway, lots of Brazilians around here on the Cape. Good people. Work
yeah,
hard.
No, yeah. I don't know why they're here, but yeah.
Better jobs. They can make more money. They send
it's a wrong fucking way to go.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, but if you're going to go to, and I don't know. It was probably based on where there were jobs. You know, seasonal places need people. In the summer.
But I mean, to come from Brazil all the way to America is a long journey.
I agree, but so what's the difference if you go to Florida, Washington, or Maine? You can't go where you can get a job.
If you're a warm weather people, I feel like you get up there and you just go, oh, wait a second, what the fuck? Oh, fuck this shit.
Yeah, but if you're trying to get out of your shit favela or wherever you're living, it's like.
How do you get to Cape Cod?
Yeah, Cape Cod's nice.
I guess jobs are jobs. Good for those people. Moot the ball.
Speaking of somebody who has a job, Jake Hager has a job now. Do you know who Jake Hager is?
Of course. Designed underwear.
He's also known as Jack Swagger.
Also known as Steve Bannon. I'm aware who he is. Also known as the President of the United Motherfucking States of America. Jack Swagger coming to Bellator, motherfuckers. Because of course he is.
He is now 35 years old, but he is 6'7", 275 pounds, and was an NCAA Division I All-America at Oklahoma in his senior year. But that was back in 06. We're talking 11 years ago. Since then, he's obviously been in WWE as like a mid-card, or he's had a few different gimmicks. He's All-American or whatever. Then he did some like Tea Party gimmick with Dutch Mantel, but that's not even current. I don't know what Dutch Mantel's gimmick was. Fuck.
Steve Bannon.
That would have been a good gimmick.
It's like almost literally what he was.
I like that Steve Bannon can't decide if he wants to support Roy Moore. It's awesome.
Yeah, what a shock.
Like. It's amazing. Like, it's amazing that somebody can be that way and he'll still have, like, millions of, like, devotees to, like, Breitbart and shit. It's just like, come
on. No. I completely understand that stuff because he's one of those, like, that Dana, like, that psychopath thing where they can kind of be behind the scenes. Like, he doesn't. I think a lot. He's the kind of guy where people are like, look, you don't have the real power, but you're telling me the truth, even if it's personal feelings. As opposed to, you know, Roy Moore, who wants to be senator, even though he's like a fuck 14-year-old. Fucking creepy piece of shit. Oh, Jesus, Mary and Joseph. They don't even fuck you, moron. That's the whole fucking point of it, is that she was a virgin. Because back then, people gave a shit. Plus, don't. Oh, I hate him. I hate him so much. He's such. Although, to turn this around on you lefties, some good. Do some gymnastics here. Although, I think there's something to be learned here, which is it speaks a lot about how distrusted Democrats are in certain parts of the country that Roy Moore is still maybe going to win.
It is pretty bad.
Although, I say that knowing that. You know, Jerry Brown could do whatever he wants in California, and if he ran up against a Republican, he'd still win. You know?
Yeah, it's weird. But it's like, if you go in to vote, you're going to vote for the pedophile over some guy who wants to tax you more. It's like, what the fuck? Like, how?
Dude, it's a fucking different culture. I really, when I say it's a different culture, I mean that in the sense of, like, you wouldn't go to France or China and be like, I don't know why these people act so dumb. Like, it's that fucking different. We are that different as a people now. And that's why I hereby call for the dissolution of the United States of America into five separate nations.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are we going to be in different countries?
Yes, we will. Yeah, because I'm guessing the Midwest was going to want Chicago, so they have a major city, yeah.
St. Louis doesn't work.
Nigger, please. I mean, come on. It's St. Louis. It's St. Louis.
I don't know, they got that arch. That could be like a capital of a
Chicago's the second biggest city in the country and one of the greatest, like, most beautiful cities in the world.
Third biggest.
Fuck, L.A. doesn't count. It's not a real city.
What is it?
It's a collection of, like, 37 cities. It goes on for, like, 100 miles each way. That's a big-ass place there. Point being, even for number three, it's still better than St. Louis. You're famous for two things. St. Louis is famous for three things. One, you lost your football team again. Two, a giant fucking arch. And three, you kill black people, and you are the origination point for the latest great racial war that's happening right now. Yeah, fuck you, St. Louis. You can go with the South for all I care.
What do you think of Jack Swagger's chances in Bellator? Do you like them?
Oh, sure, it's Bellator.
Right, I mean...
It's not real fighting.
He's basically the youngest heavyweight on their roster.
Although, it's kind of funny in a way where he shows them in Bellator, and, like, the next day they're like, so we have the eight best guys we can find, and we're going to put them in your division. Like, what the fuck? It's a division that... Like, 3 months ago, Jack Swagger must have been sitting there going, they don't even have heavyweights. I'm going to be champion by default. And next thing you know, they're like, well, Frank Mir's a champion, former champion. He's in here. And Fyodor's maybe the greatest of all times. He's in here. And Ryan Bader's the only guy who's really good. And he's you, but younger and better. He's in here. And Quentin Jackson was a former champion. He's in the tournament, too. And, you know, Glover Teixeira is just behind. So, yeah, welcome to Bellator. He's 35 years old, and he's been a pro wrestler forever. He's going to do... He'll probably do okay at best. I mean, he's a big dude. Anybody that big is such a fucking crapshoot. Like, when they're big and they're, like, kind of, like, athletic-looking, you don't know. Like, if the athleticism is there, he's going to destroy a couple dudes. If it's not, it's going to be like when Steve Williams tried.
They got to have him fight Greg Hardy. That's the fight to make.
I want to see him fight Ken Shamrock.
That would be good, too.
I just came up with that. Now I want nothing more in my life.
Him and Gabby Garcia would be good, too. They weigh the same.
Oh, she'd kill him. He's been training jiu-jitsu for 6 months in Tampa.
I always preface these things with, did you see? I don't know why, but did you see... Rory McDonald wants to be a substitute, an alternate for the heavyweight tournament.
I cannot see that. That's awesome. He would beat him, too.
Yeah, I almost think he could win it. Like, I don't think he could beat Bader, but I think he'd have a legit shot beating everyone else in that tournament.
Oh, yeah. I bet he's only about 10, 15 pounds smaller than King Mo, naturally. And
like, he might be the same as King Mo. King Mo's a small... Small, yeah. Light heavyweight.
You know, King Mo's a middleweight, yeah.
Yeah.
And Rory's, like, a massive welterweight. So, I mean, I'm sure Rory's a good, like, he's a ripped 200, I bet. And, you know, it's like Yushin Okami. He was, he was fine at 205 pounds for a while. It didn't work out super great, but he's also on short notice. And Rory McDonald, you know, a godless monster who doesn't feel. So he'll do all right.
I'm looking at his Twitter right now.
Oh, geez.
It's all Bitcoin retweets. It's really fucking weird.
No, it's not, because he's a robot, and that's how he does money.
It's bizarre. It's all, like, charts and stuff of how, like, Bitcoin's doing.
like literally dozens upon dozens of tweets about Bitcoin.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they sponsor him or what it is.
I mean, I'm sure that's what it is, or he's got a real fucking crazy side where nobody's ever talked about the fact that Roy McDonald is obsessed with Bitcoin.
Yeah, he's stuff up about the Paradise Papers. It sounds like he's got issues with people and money.
This is fucking awesome. How have I not known that Roy McDonald is Canadian Alex Jones?
That might be going a little far.
I'm not gonna lie. It moved a little bit. I'm really excited about this prospect.
All right, let's change topics. On Saturday night, November 11th, we had UFC Fight Night Poirier versus Pettis. Changing the format up a little bit this week. I hope you can hang with me here.
No, this is a good change, actually.
Okay, so which fight night was this? What number?
Hey. Yeah, you. Fuck you. No, no. The other guy. Yeah, you asshole. The one I'm looking at. What was the fucking number? Huh? It's not on the fucking board. I swear to fuck, I will fucking light you up after this shit's over. I will fuck you up. You give me the ass. That's right. What was the number? I know it's not 113, asshole. I know it. 120? Is it 120?
It is 120.
Yeah? Is it 120?
It's 120.
Yeah. Matt says it's 120. Yeah, he ain't lying. He's not. Why would he fucking lie to me? Oh, fuck you. No. No, you're a racist. Yeah, it's UFC Fight Night 120 on Fox.
Fox Sports 1.
Whatever.
Yeah, good job. In the main event, Dustin Poirier defeated Anthony Pettis by, I guess it was TKO, at 208 of the third round. It was called a TKO due to a rib injury. This fight was awesome. Really, really great fight. Most of it was actually on the mat, but tons of reversals. Poirier and Enma was just kind of felt like the stronger, better guy pretty much everywhere, I felt. But Pettis was competitive. It wasn't like he got killed, but he got a couple nasty cuts, was bleeding everywhere. He got Poirier. He was close on a couple triangles. At one point, the ref actually stopped the fight to have a check cut when he had a triangle locked on, which I found very odd.
That was you.
Did you?
All of Rufus Sports really pissed about that one.
Well, watching it, I'm like, that was a weird time to call for a stand-up, because it looked like he had it in pretty well, but I think Poirier was so covered in his blood that he was going to slip out anyway, because there were several other triangle attempts throughout the fight, and he managed to kind of slide out just because of all the blood everywhere.
Yeah, I can't imagine that triangle would have finished it, but it nonetheless, that's maybe the worst time in the history of the world to check a cut on the guy who's doing the hold?
Right.
Really? I mean, if I punch a guy in the face and he's wobbling, losing his balance, and he's about to fall down, and the referee goes, "Hold on a second," and checks a cut on me, I'm going to be a little pissed about that.
Did I didn't see much about that though. Like,
neither did I until the next day when I saw all the people I know from Rufus Sport, and like one after another was talking about it. I'm like, oh, because before they even said it, I'm like, I kind of remember that, but the announcers didn't seem to care.
Right, no, it stood out to me at the time. I'm like, yeah, that's weird. But it didn't get any press at all, and nobody really mentioned it. But in the end, I think the better fighter won the fight.
Yeah.
So whatever. And it was weird, too, because I don't know. Do we know what happened to Pettis and the rib? Was it a broken rib? Because essentially what happened was Poirier, I think, was moving from the back to mount. Mm-hmm. And Pettis just kind of tapped out, and Poirier got up, and Pettis was holding his rib, and it's been called a rib injury. But I don't know what the final diagnosis was, and there doesn't seem to be much info out there on it at all.
Yeah, I didn't see anything either, and I know that Poirier, and it was good shit-talking, was saying, I felt him breaking and things like this, and that may be the case, but, you know, rib injuries are real weird ones, because those are like the body injuries is the only thing in the world people tap from. Like, nobody taps from their leg being hurt or their arm being hurt. You hurt that body, and guys are just all of a sudden like, oh my gosh, I'm going to die. But it didn't matter. It was the only thing that was really a problem is it was an unsatisfactory conclusion. Because I would have liked to see, like, look, I'm watching a show, Saturday night, veterans, memorializing Veterans Day, all the brave men and women have been out there and served, even though we actually took it over from Armistice Day. And I'm not going to lie, I needed about another 5 seconds of a man getting the kind of brain damage that takes 5 years off his life, because in my drunken haze, I thought, yeah, I need that. So thanks a lot, Poirier. You ruined Veterans Day.
Well, Pettis is the one that tapped.
I honestly, as soon as I said Poirier, I'm like, that's not fucking right. Then I'm like, how can I make it Poirier's fault? And I can't. It's Pettis' fault for being a bitch.
And me being me couldn't let it go either.
You were right to do what you did.
Oh, okay. I'm glad we're on the same page. No matter what, exciting fight. I recommend anyone who's listening to this show at this point still watch that fight if you haven't seen it yet. Great
fight.
We haven't
started listening yet. Yeah.
Afterwards, Poirier said he wanted to fight the winner of Eddie Alvarez versus Justin Gaethje. He was going to beat the winner of that fight and then get a title shot at 155. It was a decent first fight speech.
Yeah.
It makes sense. I'd like to see that. Poirier looked good, and he's always the type of guy who just can't quite get over the hump. He's, like we said last week, really, really freaking good, and he doesn't get enough respect. He was great at 145, and he's looked good at 155. And his only loss at 155 is to Michael Johnson when he got knocked out.
I think he's only lost in 45. Well, yeah, I know the Conor loss. He may have had one other one.
Cub and
Korean
Zombie. That was like a fight of the year.
That was so awesome when Zombie beat him in the fourth round. Yeah, you got to give Poirier a lot of credit here because I think that Eddie Alvarez and Gaethje are going to be in that tier, like, two, right below the Ferguson-Khabib Diaz level. And Poirier, like, he's always very good, and he could compete at Tier 2 or Tier 1, but he's just not there. And I feel like he cut a promo where I'm like, I do want to see you do this now. Like, you're a good fighter who's exciting, and you just made me interested with your promo. You get to move up a little bit now. Good for you. And plus, he was donating his shorts to cops or something.
Yeah, he does after every fight. Like, families who
lost
have had, like, a, yeah, a police officer got killed in the
he's
line.
He's a good
duty,
person.
Yeah. tough loss,
by the way,
obviously.
Fuck you, Poirier. You know, that would look really cool on my wall. You know, in a frame, that would look cool. But, you want to give some money to the family of a cop that died? He's protecting our freedoms and making sure we don't get raped in our sleep. Well, I'm making you people happy. What's really better for your life?
Well, you understand you can be the one that buys the shorts. The money will go to the police officer.
No.
They could be your shorts. You could put Anthony's Pettis bloody shorts up on your wall.
I already have Pettis' blood on my wall. I've had that for years.
I don't know what that means. It sounds weird, though.
No, it is weird. There's no way that this could ever be good. There's no way you can ever be like, hey, I have this grown man's blood on my wall. People are like, oh, that totally makes sense. Even if you're like a doctor who discovered AIDS and that's the vial, you wouldn't put it on your wall.
Right. Where does Pettis go from here? He's obviously hit
Bellator?
The worst skid of his career. He's 2-5 in his last 7.
I kind of have joke, but Bellator? And here's the thing. If he's in Bellator, I don't think he's going to beat some of those top guys. I don't think he beats Ben Henderson. But, like, Pitbull, I think he's going to lose to some of those guys. Not that he's bad, but whatever Pettis seemed like he was going to be, he's just not big and strong enough for it. Otherwise, you're just putting him in there with fighters just for something fun. And nobody's going to give a fuck about him in the top, fighting anybody in the top 10 or top 15.
You know what's funny? You hear, like, these whispers about guys who hit the skid around USADA, like Johnny Hendricks. You look at him, and he can't knock anybody out. He can't do anything. But the timeline's real similar for Pettis, too. And granted, Pettis was never ripped or a real heavy hitter or anything, but you never hear those whispers with him, and it's like his timeline and Hendrix are almost identical. Like, yeah. As far as being in title contention and then just falling off, and I'm not saying he's garbage, but...
No, he's garbage.
Pettis is garbage?
He's the garbage outside of a five-star restaurant. You know, it's still better than McDonald's, but it's still garbage. Right.
Gotcha.
You know, what you're saying actually is very valid, in that I don't think Pettis was on the gas. I don't think the reason he's collapsed is because of USADA, but I think it's very valid to point out that his fall from grace did coincide with that, and if somebody could present a good case, you know, for that, I think I could be convinced. Again, right now I think it's he's a Ferrari, and Ferraris and Lamborghinis need perfect upkeep to be, you know, drivable, and he didn't do that. I think that's more likely because, again, he's not blown out. He's pretty much the same size as ever, and everybody even look at him from the very beginning is like, this is a dude who, if those fast twitches slow a little bit, he's going to be fucked. Like, this is somebody when that knee goes, he's in trouble. But, yeah, I think it's fair to question if he's a juice head. Sure.
And he's younger, too. Like, he should be in his prime right now. He's only 30 now. He should be the best he's ever been right now, and he's getting progressively worse. But you know, maybe he doesn't have the dedication, or he made the money and he's cool with it and doesn't really give a shit anymore.
It's the reason why John Jones is the Lawrence Taylor of MMA, and Anthony Johnson is some other dude that was really good for one or two years, and we don't remember.
In the semi-main event, Matt Brown defeated Diego Sanchez by knockout. This fight was kind of sad. Diego was just overmatched. He was smaller. He wasn't as strong. And he was wild going in for punches. He landed, like, one good body kick against Brown, which is Brown's, like, kryptonite. But it wasn't enough. Later, Brown caught a Sanchez, like, body kick and just, like, dropped Sanchez's leg and in the same motion just hit this nasty elbow, like, right behind Diego's ear. And he just fell like a sack of bricks to the ground and was out, and it was over. And it was one of those knockouts where you're like, oh, God, like, is he going to be okay afterwards? It was bad. He just went limp and face planted.
Yeah. The only reason Diego wouldn't have brain damage from that is he's fucking retarded already.
Could be.
I mean, this was brutal. It was bad. My biggest takeaway was Brown was so much bigger.
Right.
Like, he was big. I mean, we kind of talked about it before, but this was something where, like, if I was a referee and they stepped in the cage, I'd be like, hold on. No. I'm stopping this now. This is not a fair fight, and you can't have unfair fights. This is ridiculous. Somebody's going to get hurt.
It was Big Brother versus Little Brother.
Yeah. And Big Brother beat the fuck out of Little Brother. Remember that, Brian. Remember it.
Ah, God. Those were the days. They've passed. Anyway.
You can watch your daughter do it to your son. Cheer her on. Encourage her.
He's pretty strong. He's getting some little badass. Matt Brown was supposedly going to retire after this fight, but he's kind of, I don't want to say backpedaling on it. He says he'll come back for the right fight and the right money. But this could have been Brown's last fight, and if it was, he went out, I guess, on top with a big knockout, spectacular win.
I mean, you got to go out, man. Go out beating the shit out of a fucking retard who's half your size. It's the way to go. So all the greats of that. I mean, I remember Ron Ali had his last fight, and he fought that 5'3" Guatemalan. That was just brutal.
Andre Arlovsky beat Junior Albini by unanimous decision, 29-28, 30-27, 30-27. Highlight of this fight was Albini's shorts.
Highlight.
He had, like, jacked up and, like, tucked in underneath, so it literally looked like he was wearing a diaper. Very weird look. You don't see very often. He was also humongous. Like, he had to cut weight to make 265. And, like, literally, I think his, like, each of his thighs probably weighed as much as Mighty Mouse.
Yeah, this
that was the highlight for me.
This is a fight where there's somebody out there. I don't know who they are, but somebody will claim that they watched this whole fight and enjoyed it. That person's a liar. That person's a bad. That's a bad person.
Yeah.
There's somebody that takes, like, they pretend to put a tip in a jar and they take out a dollar. Like, that's the kind of person that's saying that they liked watching this fight. Like, fuck that person. Fuck this fight.
Yeah, Albini better get his shit together. His kids are going to be playing with shampoo bottles again. Cesar Ferreira defeated Nate Marquardt by split decision.
Like the person that enjoys that fight is someone that steals a towel off of the cart in the hotel and doesn't care that maid is going to have to pay $5 to replace it.
I'm not sure that's how that works. Rafael Assuncao defeated Matthew Lopez by knockout. Afterwards, Assuncao called out Jimmy Rivera, I believe. Rivera still doesn't have an opponent since Dominick Cruz pulled out of UFC 219 with the broken arm, so Assuncao wants that fight, I think, next.
That's kind of cute that Assuncao thinks that they're still going to have that pay-per-view.
Huh. Yeah, either called for that or a fight with Dillashaw, one or the other. Maybe somebody else called out. I'm getting confused. Marlon Moraes maybe called him out.
He's the one that called out Cruz. He really called him out big. I thought it was like, oh.
Rivera called out Rivera.
Sorry, Rivera. That's right. Of course not Cruz. Like, that guy's going to fight again. Called out Rivera.
Actually, it'd be more awesome if he called out Cruz. I'll break your other arm.
I call out Dominick Cruz. I could not beat him right now, even with one arm.
No, absolutely not.
Wait, don't be so fucking quick to say no. Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, I don't even think it would be close.
Bigger.
Clay Guida beat Joe Lauzon in a battle of two guys who should have retired 5 years ago. Joe Lauzon made me sad. I felt bad for him. He got knocked out badly. There's one uppercut Guida hit that just like rocked Lauzon bad. Then he took a bunch of shots on the ground, and Guida looked good. He cut a good promo afterwards. He said he thinks his current deal is up and he wants to retire in the UFC. The crowd was chanting Guida, Guida, Guida. Kind of a cool moment, good post-fight speech. But again, he's beaten Joe Lauzon, who hasn't been the best lightweight in the world for the last, you know, five years anyways. Yeah.
No, I mean, this whole thing was, it was just sad. Everybody involved was sad. I thought Guida's, like, the post-fight promo was cool, and I think I hope it worked, but it only worked in the sense of, as he's saying, like, this is my last for my UFC contract, but I want to fight, I want to finish my career in the UFC, I got one more contract, and he's begging just for, like, three more fights, and he gets the whole crowd, and they're all loving it, and I'm like, yeah, it's going to happen, because in my mind, I think, Clay Guida's not going to be demanding that much. Like, he's not cutting this promo and then going to the room and be like, yeah, I want $500,000 a fight. Like, you know, he's like, yeah, I'll take 40 and 40. And he does that, and then there's Joe Lauzon getting essentially knocked out on the first punch almost. But he's so good that he's able to defend instinct. He could regain his guard. He could grab the back of the head, like, to, you know, break the posture. He did everything you're supposed to do to keep the fight going. But everybody watching said, this shouldn't be happening. Like, the fight should be stopped. But you couldn't stop it. Because if you were to stop it then, you should have stopped it before the fight ever happened. Because if you're stopping it then, you're basically saying, I know that you're actually demonstrating intelligently defending yourself, but you shouldn't be getting punched. Well, fuck, then you shouldn't be fighting. And, the way that Guida immediately, like, picked him up and hugged him, and, like, you could just tell this is one of these... Dude, I know we've both been on these wars, but I didn't want to embarrass you and do this, but you know how it is. And Lauzon and his giant fucking ears who just had to take that punishment. Goddamn fucking Mr. Potato Head.
Isn't it funny, though, how, like Lauzon had that win over Diego. He beat the shit out of Gomi. It's like, but we all know, like, he's no good anymore. But at the same time, it's like he's still beating dudes who I guess Gomi just got released, but guys who are still in the UFC, it's just weird, like, the levels and the difference between guys. And, like, because Guido's not a top 15 lightweight at this point either. No. You know what I mean?
No, yeah,
so
for
what does
sure.
that say about Lozon? And what does it say about Diego
wow.
and somebody like Gomi?
I think,
you know,
I think
it's wild.
Some of these guys, and I think we talked about this last week, I know what happened in my head, is that Lozon, and I would say that Diego's obviously in that category. Also, Guida probably is. We think of them as these exciting fighters, but a lot of that was because they were so durable, and they're just not durable anymore. Like, Lozon, if he doesn't get clipped by something, he's good enough to beat most people. But unfortunately, it exposes that a big part of being successful in MMA is you can get the shit beat out of you, and you don't collapse on the first punch. Lozon just can't do it anymore. But even though he's got these bonuses and he's got a degree from college, but he's got a kid who's, like, retarded and...
He's looking at cancer.
Cancer. He has a lot of medical bills. The point is just that Obamacare saved that kid's life. All right? So just give it up for Brock.
God. No, Zuffa has insurance, I think, don't they? Health insurance for the fighters' families?
Not
probably?
Like that, no.
No. Okay.
Also, Zuffa doesn't own them anymore.
We'll talk about it.
I wonder how that works, actually. I wonder if they all got... they did not get insurance when Hollywood bought them out. They probably just got molested in the corner and jerked off into a fern.
What else? Marlon Moraes defeated John Dodson, split decision. Weird scorecards. On 2E, 130-27, and on the 3rd, he lost 27-30. Not sure how that works. I guess 3 super close rounds. But Dodson, I think, even had a knockdown in the first and pretty clearly won the first to me, but whatever. Tatiana Suarez, your girl there, defeated Vivian Pereira, dominated on the ground.
I think
30-27, 30-27, 30-26.
I think she could be a megastar.
Yeah.
Because when I was watching it, I realized, I'm like, she's attractive, but, like, not like the pretty girl thing. More like she's good looking, and like Bryce Harper's good looking. Where, like, you want your celebrity athletes to not be repulsive. Like, you know, you want Michael Jackson, Derek Jeter. Not Michael Jordan, Derek Jeter.
What? You want Michael Jackson and Derek Jeter?
Gosh, I want them both on a sandwich. But Tom Brady, all these guys, like, as dudes, like, they don't have a fucking ear growing out of the side of their head or something like that. So Suarez is good-looking enough. Her name is Tatiana Suarez, so she's got the Latino background. She carries a fucking flag around with her. She's this all-American wrestler, and she's 115 pounds. Like, she could, like, she... Because the mainstream media, like, they love that fucking Olympic, you know, legit background thing where she was an amateur and she went through this and she's a girl and she, I guarantee her story is, and she wrestled with the boys and then she beat the boys and then she went here and she did that and then she overcame cancer. Like, that's a hell of a fucking story there. I just hope she doesn't lose when she fights Rose or something.
Yeah, I mean, the woman she was fighting, Pereira, was 2-0 in the UFC. She had a win over Valerie Letourneau and Jamie Moyle. So it wasn't like she was a joke. And Suarez just dominated. Took her down at will. Took her back. Out-wrestled her. Got mount. It wasn't really even competitive. Like, I would have scored a couple of those rounds 10-8 if it were me.
Yeah.
So.
And I'll say this one from a very technical back perspective. The degree to which Suarez is ahead of, at least in this fight, her wrestling. Obviously, she's a great wrestler, but if this is indicative of what the division is, she'll never lose. Because the takedowns she was doing were so perfectly done, but it was grab that single, I'm going to put my head on the inside, I'm going to put it against her chest, I'm going to bring my one leg out, I'm going to come around. She's lifting him up, she's dumping him, she's doing like a TP with her foot behind the back of the heel to trip him down. But she was doing it slow enough that it was all perfect technique. And that shit you just never see with the men ever. And it just tells me, oh, some of these women are going to have a real problem. Then again, Sarah McMahon didn't dominate, so what the fuck do I know?
You know a lot about Sage Northcutt. He defeated Michelle Quinones 30-27 on all 3 cards.
Oh, boy, such a good fighter. Oh, what a treat.
It was, I mean, in the scheme of things, it's obviously a win and a step in the right direction for Northcutt, but he's training with Team Alpha Male now, and he did look better. He looked more calm in there, a little more composed. He got some takedowns here and there at the end of rounds to kind of seal the deal on rounds. He fought pretty smart and won it. It wasn't the most exciting fight, but it was like a serviceman-type win, which was good. I mean, it showed some growth, and he got some rounds in. It was good. I don't know where he's going to go against better guys, but definitely progress for Northcutt.
Say he's going to be one of those people where in 10 years, he's still fighting, you're going to be like, yeah, he's 30. He was 19 when he came into the company. Like,
right.
And, you know, it was fucking weird when the Diaz brothers were that young, and that was a different generation. And so, he might actually end up being okay. He's such a, this weirdo, wholesome Nazi, a good Nazi. And, Team Alpha Male, it somehow fits as a place for him to train, because they're all good Nazis also. But I can't imagine him, I don't know. He's just such a wholesome dude, and I'm not going to lie, I get a strong, strong homosexual undertone from Team Alpha Male. I just picture a lot of those dudes are grabbing each other in hot tubs and stuff like that. And I think Old Sagey is a good old, a wholesome guy from Texas who just doesn't abide by those types of things. He's like the Tim Tebow of MMA. He's going to be really genuine. He's going to do better than you think. He's never going to do great. But at the end of the day, we're all going to go, that's a real fucking genuine dude.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing, obviously he takes a lot of heat because of his persona and the losses he had. But both of those losses were against welterweights. He's technically undefeated at 155. This was his return to 155.
Yeah.
And granted, the guys he beat at 155 aren't great, but two losses were in a weight class up. Maybe he doesn't belong at 170. He belongs at 155, and maybe he'll do decent. I don't know. He's only 21.
Yeah, he's 21.
There's really no fighters in the UFC who are 21 besides him, and the reason is because they're not experienced, not very good.
Yeah, you broke up for a bit there.
Mm.
I blame the internet on this, though, because the internet being controlled by the Jews has they have it against me.
You said,
yeah,
your audio sounds like
garbage. Yeah, well, that's yours sounds really shitty to me too, motherfucker. That's not really funny if I can't hear you.
Huh? That's odd.
I don't know.
Can you hear me?
Fuck this. We're redoing this. Yeah. We're gonna.
Sound like you're in a...
Hey there, everybody. My name's Mike. I'm pretty sure you can all hear me right now. I'm going to hit the call and cancel button. Now I'm going to call Matt back, and we're going to restart this with a better connection. You'll hear nothing but except for a seamless transition to, hey, Mike, how you doing?
Hello.
Hello.
How's it going?
Good. You hear it okay?
I can hear you. There's a little weird static, but it's okay.
I suspect it may be my fault.
I think this one is.
Yeah, because I looked over and I noticed that the power cord on my computer had been jostled off by a certain Puggle. And I'm wondering if my computer didn't have enough juice, Puggle. Yeah.
Huh. That's interesting. All right, so last Friday it came out that Anderson Silva had popped for steroids of some sort of PED and a failed USADA drug test. And he is no longer part of the UFC Shanghai main event against Kelvin Gastelum. He said on, I want to say, Instagram, "I can't express how sad I am because we all invest love, time, and passion in this camp. I don't know exactly the plans of God for me, but anyway, I can only thank him and all of you." He went on to say that he will not give up. And not because of money or fame, it's because I love to fight. So no matter what happens from now on, nothing changes. My plans are the same. Nothing has changed. I will continue to do PEDs until the day I die.
Very good. Yeah. He's delusional. I mean, I don't know what God has in store for me. Well, I'm really hoping that this all means that your dick doesn't work and you're not going to have any kids. You fucking liar. How?
Like, don't you think he should know better? Like, granted, he's 40, whatever, 41, 42. He doesn't have a lot of time left. He's trying to get an edge, whatever. I get it, but after getting popped once, you know the testing's better now. It's more serious. I think when he failed the first one, it was pre-USADA anyway. Like, come on. Like, what are you doing?
I'm the wrong person to talk to about that, probably, because, yeah, duh. Like, if you fuck up, I feel like if I make a mistake, I may not succeed the next time around, but I won't make the exact same fucking mistake.
Right.
Like I might cheat, get caught with Vaseline or maybe brass knuckles, but I'm not going to get popped for roids again. I'm going to be like, shit, what do I got to really know? And I would dig deep and I'd investigate it, and I'd be like, okay. I mean, I'd become a fucking chemist. Fuck, if I was a pro fighter at that level, I'd probably go to some university where there's some desperate chemist, like, you know, grad student. He's like, oh my gosh, you're going to give me $50,000? I'll never make this much money in my life. And have them help me out.
Does this change your opinion of Silva at all? No, me neither. Because
he already did it.
Right. So, like, it doesn't matter in that regard. Well, some people are saying, like, this changes his legacy, which I guess they mean they believe dick pill excuse, the blue vial from Thailand excuse. I don't know what that means, but some people, like Bisping in particular, was saying that this proves he's a cheat. But I felt we already knew that beforehand with the last failed test.
I mean, we're in an era in sport where you're guilty until proven innocent. And when you fail, you know, pot twice, you're pretty fucking guilty.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. He could be suspended 4 years in theory, which would really be the end of his career, which, you know, at this point, he hadn't looked good in a few years anyway.
It would not be the end of his career. He doesn't want to fight for fame or money. He just wants to fight because he's a fighter. So he'll go to Brazil and fight in a non-sanctioned thing because he's a fighter, you see?
Like for free on some jungle fights undercard or something?
Exactly. He'll fight Hanato Babalu.
That actually might be competitive. And so as a result of Silva being pulled off this Shanghai card, the last person you'd probably expect to take on this fight has agreed to it, and that's Michael Bisping coming off the GSP loss just 2 weeks ago. The part of this I found most interesting was the New York State Athletic Commission has suspended Bisping for 30 days. A lot of times after fights, guys get knocked out, they get a cut, they get suspended and aren't supposed to train.
I think everybody gets suspended for 30 days.
A lot of, if you lose, it's almost like guaranteed you're going to get at least 30 days. It depends on the state and how uptight they are or whatever, but you're not supposed to do any sparring if you have a knockout loss, that sort of thing. I'm sure guys do it, but whatever. So this fight is only 3 weeks after his loss to GSP. He's claiming he went and talked to the athletic commission and got them to waive the 30-day suspension.
Of course he did. It's like a $350 fine in New York.
To me, it's just so stupid. Like, why even have the suspension? Like,
so they get $350. Yeah, get $350.
On the off chance some guy's going to want to fight again in less than a month?
Sure, yeah.
Okay,
it's a free $300. Yeah, why not? These are joke commissions. It's a joke sport now. Nobody gives a shit. A grown man got the living fuck beat out of him over 3 rounds, bloodied, cut, dropped by a left hand, obviously concussed, because nobody gets punched in the face and falls down without a concussion by definition. Choked until he had to quit as he spurted blood everywhere, but he'll be totally fucking fine to have another cage fight in 3 weeks. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You asked before, what do we think is going to happen to Conor McGregor? This is why nothing will happen. Because Michael Bisping is a nobody compared to Conor, and they're letting him do this shit? Conor is like Donald Trump when Trump is like, I could shoot somebody tomorrow and they'd love me. Conor McGregor could murder someone in the cage, and as long as that check clears, he can do whatever he wants.
Bisping said, I can't see how I cannot take this fight. I'm serious because the homework is done. I've got no injuries. I like to fight, and I've got a bad taste in my mouth from my last performance. That's what's bothering me.
No, no, no. That bad taste is still the blood in your mouth and the fucking stitches that haven't finished healing.
This gives me a chance to exercise my demons and get some decent mental space back. Physically, I'm totally fine. Mentally, I'm pissed off. So for me, it's almost a gift from the gods. Plus, I can stick a few more dollars in the bank account.
There's only one god.
And then I'll have my final fight in London in March. It's weird because I almost feel like a healthy Bisping can just, like, outpoint Gastelum. Yeah. But I don't know in this case. He's banged up. Obviously, he's claiming he's healthy and he's fine, but every fighter always says that. I don't know how fine you can be after that fight with GSP 3 weeks later, but...
Actually, you know what? He might be okay.
Yeah.
And it's part of the reason is because he lost. Because normal people, if they lost a fight in the main event of one of the biggest shows in the history of mankind, would not mentally be okay right away, unless they already went into it thinking, eh, whatever, I'm going to have some fucking fun, we're just going to have a fight in the pub, whatever. And that's what Bisping's mentality is, and maybe his damage was superficial, and because of that, he's able to fight again. Again, I was with him half my life thinking, oh, I'm kind of a cynic, but fuck me, man, we are in a weird fucking time where I'm just like, eh, fuck it. Seriously, just let's see Bisping fight in 3 weeks. And when he travels to literally the opposite side of the world to fight Calvin Gastelum. Yeah. In Shanghai, which has shitty, you know, air quality, which should be considered because of the pollution.
To me, it's ballsy on Bisping's part to do it. He probably just made a multi-million-dollar payday and clearly doesn't need to take this fight. And maybe they offered him good money to do it or something, but it, to a degree, I respect him for doing it. At the same time, I don't think it's a great idea.
I can respect it while thinking it's stupid, because to me, you respect it in that it really does show that when Bisping is offered a fight, he doesn't play it safe. But so you know now that every fight Bisping's had in his career, he's not trying to duck anybody. And because, you know, if you're trying to duck fighters, you don't do this shit. So you can respect him while at the same time thinking somebody in his camp should be like, no. Or somebody in the UFC should be like, no. Or somebody in New York should be like, no. I'm not going to hold the Chinese to any standards because they're Chinese. But somebody somewhere should have said no. Instead, we're all going to watch him, get beat in the face in the middle of fucking China for $500,000. What a fucking weird world we live in. Everybody's too rich. That's what this is. There's too much fucking money. The world needs to be poorer. That's my message for tonight. We all need to die at 40 again. Or we can start the podcast.
UFC 219 is still looking for a main event. And it's getting close. It's on December
3rd. And a semi-main event. And a co-main event, and third from the top, maybe an opener.
It's only 6 weeks away now. Last year, this was, you know, the end of the year card is usually a pretty big show. You know?
UFC 207, Amanda Nunes versus Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
Cody Garbrandt versus Dominic Cruz. I was there live, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
Now it's going to be... headlined by Jimmy Rivera and Marlon Moraes.
Well,
Jesus, fuck, that wouldn't even... That'd be a World Series of Fighting main event.
The UFC is reportedly considering putting UFC welterweight champion Tyron Woodley versus Nate Diaz in the octagon together.
That's a good main event.
What's that?
That's pretty fucking good, actually.
Woodley said...
I mean, when you talk about, like, pulling a rabbit out of your ass, that's a hell of a rabbit. That's a big rabbit. The French would love to eat that rabbit.
Woodley said, at the end of the day, none of the people in my division right now are the fight that are going to get me to legendary status. get me to the point where I'm a household name. I'm looking for that, and I might have found that fight with a lightweight who is 3-3 in his last six.
Seriously, like, there's a real fucking, like, this is, I've had this theory, and I'm probably sure I said it before, but there are smart people who think that they are stupid, and that's fine,
mm-hmm.
because they're still smart, right?
Yeah.
There are smart people that think they're smart. They're maybe a little arrogant, but they're still smart. So you're like, yeah, they're still smart. There are dumb people who think they're dumb, no harm, no foul. And then there's Tyron Woodley, which is stupid, that thinks it's smart. Because that's how you arrive to the conclusion, rightfully so, which is, I need to have fights. It's not about who's number one. It's fighting guys like Nate Diaz. So some part of his brain registers that it's not about the belt. You got to have a good, you know, a high-level opponent. However, the second part of his brain says, but I'm going to tell everybody I'm just doing this for the money. That's not how it fucking works, asshole. Nobody ever made any fucking money by telling everybody I'm just... I mean, Mayweather did, I guess. But, you know, most of these guys, you can't go out there and be like, look, I know Nate sucks, but, you know, this will make me a legend. Nobody's going to pay... Nobody wants to pay you money to see you become a legend. We want to pay money because it's interesting. And the one thing you can do to make a fight not interesting is tell everybody, this is really interesting, isn't it? Yeah, you're going to buy this just because it's interesting. I'm going to beat him on points, 48-47, and that'll make me a star. Eh, suck a dick. He becomes gay with a lisp.
The other interesting thing besides what is Woodley saying, if Nate wants to go to UFC 19, I'm ready. Nate's trainer, you know the, like, fat, like...
Al Perez.
Yeah, whatever. I like that you knew that. That was pretty good.
He's a really good coach. There's two gigantic fat guys that teach boxing. One of them works with the Diaz camp, and the other one works with Matt Serra.
Very long ago, yeah. It's funny I knew that one. Anyway, actually, I saw Ray Longo somewhere once, and he was, like, giving me the hairy eyeball. It was weird. I don't know where it was. Anyway.
Justin Benavides did that to me.
I know. You've talked about that, but I didn't like the way I was scared of him. I walked away. So, yeah, pretty much. I try not to get in fist fights in public. I just usually walk away. I guess I'm an idiot. Nate's coach, the little fat guy Al Perez, says on Instagram that Nate is in training and put up a picture of Nate, like, boxing or something. So there's a little smoke here. I don't know if there's going to be fire. And you wonder if Nate's going to take a fight against Woodley, because to me it's a bit of a mismatch. I think Woodley would manhandle him. But at the same time, if they're offering him enough money and it's worthwhile, he could take this fight, still lose, and still have a Conor fight down the road. I don't know. I don't know what's going on in Nate's head.
I think it seems like a perfect fight for everybody involved. And on some level, I know that if you're Nate, you're not stupid. You have to be aware that there's a pretty good chance you're going to fight Conor McGregor for $1 billion soon. But if you suddenly think, Conor may not do that shit, this is about as big as you can ask for. You know, this is a main event of pay-per-view against a champion. What else could you possibly ask for if you're Nate Diaz except for Conor McGregor? There's literally no other fight that's bigger than this for you. And on short notice, you know, it fits the Diaz thing. I don't think he's out of shape. I'm sure he is training. He's a Diaz. They're fucking retards. They smoke weed, do triathlons, and box and do jits. Just who he is. And of everybody, he could fuck up Tyron because he didn't give a shit about being taken down. He's got great jits, and, you know, we all love their striking style. And it's the perfect kind of fight to make on short notice. And so I'm about, like, I think a Nate Diaz fight on short notice is more interesting to me as a buyer than if he has notice. Because I want to watch Nate Diaz fight. I don't want to do an MMA competition. I want to see what is essentially the equivalent of Nate Diaz fighting somebody outside of a 7-Eleven. And that's how Nate Diaz rolls.
Yeah, I just think he's not very good at 170. I think he's too small and he's not strong enough to compete in that division is the problem. Like, Nate versus Tony Ferguson, that I would want. Like, that I'd be pumped up for. Like, just against Woodley, I just see him get not as bad as the Roy McDonald fight, but I see him getting just kind of bullied. Oh, yeah. But I don't know.
I forgot about that Rory fight. That was bad.
Oh, he got fucked up. Like, all those suplexes and everything. It was ugly, but...
But he's 1-1 in his last two fights at 170.
Yeah, against a featherweight.
Well, you know, it's a... Yeah.
In fuck other upcoming fight news... I know. I'm sorry. Damn liberals. So we've got... Aldo versus Holloway is now official for UFC 218. So Aldo's going to replace Frankie Edgar, who had a facial injury on that UFC 218 card in Detroit on December 2nd. So it'll be Holloway versus Aldo 2.
It's a lateral move, but better than nothing.
Does Aldo get destroyed?
Yeah. He got the fuck beat out of him last time. Now he's on short notice, so...
I mean, he was in camp for the Lamas fight, so it's not, like, that out of hand. I think the Lamas fight was only a week or two later, so...
But he was still... Look, again, he got the fuck beat out of him in a full camp.
Agreed.
And he's a bitch of a man anyways, so, yeah.
How does Uriah Hall versus Vitor Belfort on January 14th at UFC Fight Night in St. Louis sound to you?
Amazing that the UFC is going to be in St. Louis. I should go to that, maybe. I might go to that. Fuck yeah, I want to see Vitor Belfort fight. Oh, I've seen Vitor fight, never mind. Oh, man.
Which Vitor was it?
The second fight with Dan Henderson when he got taken down a lot. That was bad. This is sad. Like, this was... I honestly have no idea. I didn't really realize Vitor was still in the UFC because, you know...
He's still working on that Legends division, I think.
I mean, all of his muscles melted mysteriously one day. It's kind of a disqualification for fighting, but yeah, he's still there. And honestly, he could beat Uriah Hall because Uriah Hall is this Vitor Belfort 2.0. He's a fucking mental head case.
In some weird matchmaking, they're doing Ovin St. Preux versus Ilir Latifi on UFC on Fox 27 in Charlotte on January 27th. I was hoping OSP, like, on his three-fight win streak, coming off that big head kick win against Corey Anderson, would get somebody higher ranked, but instead he's fighting somebody ranked below him. Just kind of odd matchmaking there, I thought.
Yeah, way to go, UFC. Ilir Latifi, the guy from Sweden, a.k.a. the whitest country in the world and the country of the master race, according to Hitler, fighting a black guy in Charlotte? Come on.
It's not Charlottesville.
I know, but really? Am I really supposed to believe that Charlotte, North Carolina is that much more progressive? Come on.
The home of Ric Flair.
Come on.
All right. And in one last fight, we've got Mackenzie Dern. She has signed with Invicta, and she's going to...
Invicta?
Yeah.
I thought she signed with Bellator.
No, Mackenzie Dern is now in Invicta FC. She's got a fight against Kayleen Medeiros, who's a former, I think, number one contender for their strawweight title.
I just want to fuck Mackenzie Dern. Just to say that I beat her inside of her guard.
You could do better. I mean better than Mackenzie Dern. I mean a better joke.
I know.
Oh, okay.
I know I can't do better than her. Come on. I'm an asshole on the couch with a puggle making jokes about fucking Mackenzie Dern. I'm not doing better than Mackenzie Dern.
Will she make 115 pounds for this fight? That's the big question.
Yes.
It's time to be a little more professional and do the right thing here, you think?
I just figure she's bound to make it every once in a while.
Fair enough. That is it for upcoming fights, I believe. Do you see, I saw a funny article. It was an interview with Hoist Gracie, and he said jiu-jitsu has gotten horrible, really bad in the past 20 years. Did you see this?
I saw the headline.
I don't understand how he could think that, because, like...
Oh, because it's better than what he can do.
So that makes it bad.
Yeah. Usually if you used to be good at something, yeah, then everyone else is better at it than you, you go, well, that's the wrong way to do it.
Okay. Gotcha.
It's like music. Somebody's like, I don't care if you sold 10 million albums on Instagram. That's not music. That's the wrong way to make music. Just stupid.
Yeah. So here's what he said. This interviewer, I don't know his name, goes, what about jiu-jitsu? Do you think it's evolved at all in the past 20 years? And Hoist says, I think it got horrible. Got really, really bad in the past 20 years. It added so many rules, like you cannot slam the guy. I just saw a fight on the internet. Somebody was fighting. One guy got the other guy in a guillotine. The opponent picked him up, walked across the cage, dropped him, knocked him out. In BJJ, you can't do that. Imagine if that fight was on the street. That'll teach the guy. The guy picks you up, man, just let it go. Don't hang on to him. The guy went for the guillotine. He picked him up, walked across the cage, very calm, stood there and just dove to the ground with him. Knocked him out, won the fight. Imagine if that was on a curb. So he's claiming because a guy didn't let go of a guillotine that jiu-jitsu has gotten horrible. That's his argument.
Imagine if the guy doing the guillotine had a knife and he just cut his head off.
Okay.
Well, Hoist, really, is Hoist the... Does Hoist Gracie imagine himself in this scenario as the guy doing the slamming? Because he thinks it's gotten worse because big, strong dudes can't slam somebody. No, it's not gotten worse. I don't enjoy it as much as certain eras. It's just evolved. You can't do it what you did before. That's fine. I know it sucks, but it's just natural. You know, he came up in an era when
no one else in the world knew how to do it.
That's exactly what it is. It's evolution. Like, it's true evolution, which I always think is, you know, I want to say it's capitalism, but, you know, strong shit works, weak stuff doesn't. And his stuff is weak now. It doesn't mean he's bad, because what he did laid a foundation. But you're a bitch who never really actually beat anybody who knew what was going on. He's just the guy that beat a bunch of assholes in a bowling alley. Like, seriously, Hoist, you're legitimately one step away from beating up guys in bowling alleys. Harold Howard fought in bowling alleys.
2 years ago today, what happened?
2 years ago. Oh, Ronda lost.
Yeah.
I saw that being tough.
Shit.
I mean, I know these things.
That shit was crazy. Like, going into it. Oh. Like, and it's funny. I mean, at the time I was saying it was like Buster Douglas beating Tyson. And it kind of did go that way. Because, like, Holly Holm kind of washed out. She didn't turn out to be, like, the next great women's fighter. She lost two in a row and was in a real competitive fight with Betch Kohea until she landed that one head kick. It's not like Holmes been a world beater since she destroyed Rousey. And Rousey has, I don't want to say she went off the rails. It's not like going to jail or anything, but at the same time...
No, but
like,
she married Travis Brown. Right,
which doesn't sound like the brightest move. And she obviously had the knockout loss to Nunes. So... there's just some interesting parallels to the Tyson-Douglas fight.
You know, it's true. I think you actually said that probably like a year ago at this time, and it's more true than ever. It really was the end of both of them. You know, it seemed like the high point of Holly Holm and maybe the jumping off point for... What the fuck?
Sorry.
I heard some... What the fuck was that?
Apparently, we're moving quick here. That was a very important show historically. UFC 193 did 1.1 million buys, set the attendance record in Melbourne, Australia, 56,000 fans, $6.8 million gate for two women fights headlining, Rousey vs. Holm and then Jacek vs. Letourneau. Huge show, big deal for women's MMA. Don't know if they will ever have a card or a moment like that again for women's MMA, but that was probably, you could say, the peak for women's MMA so far.
Yeah, I think that's very fair to say. It's either that or the only other options would be Alexis Davis or Betch Gahea. Those fights with Ronda. So I just rolled my R with Ronda. And that's how we do it here in halfcarded.com.
So right now, there's guys down in Sydney, UFC fighters down in Sydney, because there's a card this weekend down there.
There's also Hondurans down in Sydney.
I don't understand.
Honduras played Australia so for a World Cup qualifying bid. Australia won in Australia. The only reason I really bring it up is because Honduras flew to Sydney this week, and they flew coach, and they had three stops. And this is the Honduras national team.
Wow.
Yeah, it sucks to be poor.
Holy shit. You know what's weird, though? You would think, like, countries like that, like soccer, football, is such a big deal and so important that, the president...
That's how poor they are.
Yeah, the president or something wouldn't find a way to get him a direct flight.
Dude, it's like when I was reading about Zimbabwe today, because Mugabe's in trouble, and they said 90% of the population is unemployed. Oh. And I'm like, what the fuck is... Like, 90% don't have a job? What is that? Just, how are you alive? I know there's a lot of really fucking poor people out there, is the point of this show. Mm,
there is.
I feel
so bad. Anyway, down in Australia, we've got Fabricio Werdum and Kobe Covington have had an altercation, apparently.
Wait, what?
Kobe Covington and Fabricio Werdum have had an altercation in Australia just hours ago. Would you like to hear some of it?
Wait. Yeah, let's go ahead.
Okay. I don't know if this is really going to work. I'm going to try and play this into the phone from my phone. So that's basically the gist of it. Apparently, Covington's claiming Werdum punched him in the face, and he responded by calling him a faggot, which is always a good move in 2017.
All right.
And that was off of Covington's Instagram. He's since deleted the post, but everybody obviously captured it.
All right. Okay. If he was punched in the face, if he was actually punched in the face, we'd probably would have heard about him getting punched in the face. But if you're punched in the face, anything you say in response, I truly don't think you should be held responsible for. Because, you know, you're inflamed and all that.
Hang on. You want more? I got more.
Yes.
Could you hear it okay?
Oh, yeah,
I heard. Good. All right. Well, I'll keep it going.
Yeah, and this is where Colby has a problem. If you want to be the guy that gets a lot of attention, that's great. I love it. You have to know what you're doing. If you're going to talk shit,
sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's fine. If you're going to talk shit, that's fine. But you can't say faggot. You just can't say that in your carny
trap. I'm sorry. Hang on. This is important.
Okay.
Dan Hooker got video. He's, like, in his car. videotaping Covington and Verdum. And Verdum's like a couple feet away from Covington and whoops a boomerang in Covington's face and it bounced off his head. Verdum had a fucking boomerang in Australia and whipped it at Covington.
That's it. I'm done. I don't know how the world works. None of this makes sense. Up is down, down is up. What the fuck are you talking? Okay. I literally have gone from, okay, Colby's doing the pro wrestler thing, to, dude, you can't be a pro wrestler. Like, I was actually like, I'm going to have a serious moment here. I'm going to like tell people, if you want to say faggot in the heat of the moment, that's one thing. But you can't use that for cheap heat. We have a societal standard. You have to be above that. Like, if you're going to be the, you know, Mr. Instagram, you got to understand the world you're in. And then Fabrizio Verdum throws a boomerang at him, and I don't know what the fuck is real anymore.
So, yeah, this Dan Hooker footage, it's like, essentially they're on the other side of the street. Hooker's filming this with his phone. There's some sort of argument going on, and Verdum whips this boomerang into Covington's face from literally maybe a yard away, like 3 feet, super close, chucks it at him hard, bounces off of Covington's head. Covington walks across the street. Verdum, like, follows them. Then you can see Covington start taking his phone out and start recording it. That's awesome.
There's nothing in the hardcore social justice warrior playbook that covers this. There's nothing in the I'm a right winger, but I'm actually very sensitive to these things playbook that covers saying faggot in the threat of a boomerang from a Brazilian. That just doesn't come up. I don't know what the protocol is. Nobody's ever done that. there's never been an instance in which a 245-pound Brazilian man threw a boomerang at a 170-pound American because the American said faggot just mere weeks after the Brazilian said faggot in Spanish. I don't know what's going on anymore. I'm really, really confused because also this is the same world where the President of the United States, Donald Trump, was like, I don't really know about this Roy Moore guy. We should probably, maybe he should be gone. And then his daughter said, he's a giant monster and I hate him and I think he should die and he should leave. I don't know what's happening anymore. I'm really confused, people. And I've done a lot of drugs. I don't think I've done that much. So I think I just want to go in my bed and cry.
No, this is awesome. This is what keeps me going. Verdum said in an interview since the incident, this guy...
He said in the interview, he called me a faggot. No, he a miracle. Me a miracle? He a miracle. Yo Americo? No. Soy Americo. Yay.
He said, this guy is really cocky.
Was that? I nailed it.
I went down with my master, Rafael Cordero.
He went down on the cocky guy. Yep.
To get a haircut and shave my beard. We were at the lobby, and I've never seen this
guy before.
Totally
straight thing to do. Yep.
When I walked past him, he looked at me and said, filthy Brazilians. I looked at him and said, hey. I hit his phone and asked, what did you say? He kicked my leg, but I managed to defend it. So the guys got in the middle and nothing else happened. But he kicked me.
I managed to defend it? Check the kick.
He could have hurt me. If I had really punched him in the face, he would be in the hospital for sure. There was no punch. He's delusional. I don't know why he insists talking about Brazilians. I don't get it. He wants media, wants to copy Conor McGregor. He looks ridiculous the way he does it. I couldn't believe when he said that. I hit his phone and he took a step back and kicked me. We start to argue and he continued to scream the Brazilians were animals. It's interesting Verdum doesn't mention whipping the boomerang in his face.
I mean, this is what makes Colby Covington great in his way, is that he's Trumpian. He's going to say some shit that's fucking crazy, and you're like, dude, you can't do that. But he's also going to say the things that have a grain of truth, and people don't want to admit that they think it's true. But it's shit like, yeah, Brazil's a dirty, violent place. Fuck these people. Like, he's going to say that, and we're all going to be like, oh, yeah. We're going to shy away when he says faggot, because we're like, dude, you can't do that. But, yeah, I think that the guy throws a boomerang at you, yeah. Also, the last time you won a fight and you called everybody an animal, they all responded by attacking like animals. So we're not really sure how this works here. We're kind of confused, but we're going to buy the pay-per-view if you fight. Because I saw one rumor, and it didn't come to be. We're going to be Colby Covington and Tyrone Woodley at 219. And this is how great Colby Covington's become. When I saw that rumor, like, eh, I can kind of see it now. This will be an entertaining couple of weeks. Christmas come early.
It's just the greatest headline ever. Fabricio Werdum throws boomerang at Colby Covington in street altercation. Just awesome. Like, that's awesome. Because the thing about Werdum that I can't stand, he's always picking on little guys, whether it's Coach Edmund or Tony Ferguson or Colby Covington. He's never, like, in a brawl with a heavyweight. It's always, like, guys 100 pounds less than him. Such a dick.
Actually, you know what, though? Fuck this shit. Colby's totally right. You know why? Because Werdum fought Tony Ferguson. Yeah. Fuck this shit. Werdum's a bitch. He's a homophobic bitch. It's not good to really call someone out on homophobia while using misogynistic terms. Still, fuck you, Werdum.
Yeah, I like him less and less as time goes by. You should just go back to like smiling like an idiot. That was the best.
That's right, Werdum. I was gonna say go back to being an internet meme. However, being a vulgar homophobe. He's also an internet meme, so he's kind of doing his job.
He could run for office or something. This Friday, oh, geez, it already is Friday. No, it's what day is it right now? Thursday on the East Coast. So tomorrow, we've got Bellator 188, Lahat versus Labiano. This is taking place.
Yeah, fuck this. Okay, wait.
Guess where this event's being held.
I know where it's being held. We don't need to talk about the show. It's being held in Israel. Mm-hmm. There's a photo of Shirer and Benjamin Netanyahu or something like that. There's some picture of Netanyahu boxing. This is really fucking weird. But honestly, people, America used to truly be above this. And now Donald Trump is president. We are just like every other fucking country now. Our politicians will show up and they will do boxing with Fyodor. And we know this because Donald Trump fucking did promoting with Fyodor. Fuck. We're all doomed. It's all fucking over.
He's never done.
I hope you all enjoyed the.
Trump has never had any business relations with Russia. Come on. How dare you?
That's so fucking. I don't. Dude, you know how great it's going to be when one day somebody just pulls out, oh yeah? This man's a Russian cage fighter, and here's a picture of you with him.
Yeah, somebody should write an article on that.
I should edit this part out and just do that, yeah.
I'm so ahead of my time. This Saturday, we've got Fabricio Werdum versus Marcin Tybura. This is UFC fight night number...
Hey. Hey, Dick. Oh, fuck. Yeah, I know. It's 121.
Good. Good job, Richard. This one's going to be in Sydney. We were just talking about Werdum. Who knows? He might get pulled from the card for throwing a boomerang at a fellow employee. I should say independent contractor. Excuse me. Let's get the terminology right. This is at the Kudos Bank Arena. In the main event, we've got Werdum and Tybura. This is happening because Mark Hunt got pulled from the card because he's suing the UFC and said he had brain damage prior to the fight. So the UFC pulled him from the card. And now we've got Werdum and Tybura in the main event.
I just paused so I could insert the crickets later.
Yeah, I think the crickets died last week.
Oh, fuck me. That would have really been good if we had them there.
I know, legit. Damn. Crickets.
Yeah, no one gives a fuck about this.
Okay, more people are probably interested in the crickets from the basement.
More people are going to listen to this than going to watch that.
In the semi-main event.
That'd be an awesome thing.
We have Beck Rollins taking on Jesse Rhodes.
Jesse Jess.
Yes.
Jesse Jess, who I actually like, and I don't know, she'll probably lose, but she's cute.
Okay, she's stepping in for Joanne Calderwood on short notice.
Yeah, that's... It can't be a co-main event, because Verdum is so much bigger than everybody else on this show, but what the fuck are they doing here? I mean, Donald Trump would insult Australia like this. What the fuck is this card?
Well, Becca Rollins is from Tasmania.
And Jesse Jess is from Australia as well.
Oh, jeez. Who do you cheer for in that case?
Jesse Jess, because she's more attractive. Although Rollins totally puts out more. But,
is Rollins the only fighter to ever be in the UFC from Tasmania? Has to be, right?
Yeah, because Taz was only ECW.
And WWE for a short time.
That was two Z's.
What?
That was Taz with two Z's.
He was originally the Tasmaniac.
Yeah, and then he had all these... I mean, fucking Heyman was way ahead of his time, wasn't he?
I think he's the best booker ever. The rest of the...
And that's why he's doing all of his booking nowadays on Instagram or something.
Did you see that promo somebody proposed on Raw, like in the crowd, and Heyman cut a promo on the guy?
No.
It's worth checking out. It's pretty funny because the whole crowd's like chanting and cheering for these people because they got engaged. And Heyman's just like staring at them, and Brock's laughing. And Heyman says she never would have said yes if she had met a guy like Brock Lesnar. And the crowd just went crazy.
Wait, was Brock on Raw?
Yeah.
Ah, fuck me. I actually just took Raw off my recording.
I think it was just a promo or something.
Oh, man, he's the only... Oh, man. Him and AJ Styles are going to be so awesome. Is that this Sunday?
I don't know.
Anything Brock does is great.
Mm, I'm with you. The rest of this card is pretty weak.
I like you say it's pretty weak, as if those two big main events are...
Well, every once in a while there's some depth or somebody you kind of like to see, but it's like Elias Theodora versus Dan Kelly, and like I secretly like Dan Kelly just because he's so old and has his knees wrapped up like a mummy and manages to beat like Rashad Evans and stuff. Like, I like that old man Dan Kelly, but I don't really care about Elias Theodora. I know he has
old
the right
man name. Dan Kelly is the best nickname ever. God damn, that's awesome. Yeah, but fuck this card. No one cares.
Will Brooks versus Nick Lentz is on the undercard. Like, that's a decent fight, but...
That's what headlined. Seriously?
Yeah, maybe.
Look at him.
There's, like, a heavyweight fight with two guys I've literally never heard of. Not the strongest card, but it's free. It's on Saturday night. I'm thinking FS1. It's got to be FS1, right? This is a Fight Pass card? What is this?
I don't know. I'll be watching it on my iPad.
Fox Sports One. Fox Sports One.
Is it?
Why would you watch it on your iPad?
Oh, I have to go to... my mother and I are driving out to South Dakota this weekend.
Sounds awesome.
We have to do Thanksgiving and take care of my grandma.
Oh, is she okay?
Yeah, she's just old.
Yeah.
She's just moving from one home to another.
Like a nursing home?
She was in assisted living. Then she went to a nursing home. Now she's going back to assisted living. But my mom still wants to bring in a nursing home. Nobody really knows what's going on. And I have like, well, this person told me this, told me this, told me this. And I'm just like, I can't do this. I have to talk to people in person. I have to look at documents in person. I ain't going to lawyer this shit through fourth-hand speak. I've seen how the telephone game works, and you're saying, hey, Jenny is really cute, and by the end of the third kid, it's like, I have herpes on my asshole. And so, like, I know how this works.
Huh. I know we were talking about Roy Moore a little bit earlier. He's the Senate candidate from Alabama, Republican candidate, who's been charged with a whole bunch of, like, sexual assault charges with minors. Back in like the early 80s and 70s, things aren't looking good for him. But the weirdest story attached to this is the story with Sean Hannity and Keurig. Have you followed that at all?
I see. I've actually, in the past 2 weeks, I think I finally figured out Twitter, so I'm all over this.
Okay, because The only news source I use is Twitter, and if I find something interesting, I'll click on it and read the story. That's basically how I get my news. So some of it might be totally skewed based on my preferences and stuff. I'm like, wow, that's really trending right now? I'm like, that's weird. But anyway, I'm probably getting stuff just filtered to me that Twitter thinks I'll like, but I'm okay with that. So me personally, I have a Keurig. I drink a lot of coffee because I've got kids and a job and stuff like that. So
you have a drug addiction.
Yeah, I need some caffeine.
No. Bullshit.
What?
Because I do not. The only vice I don't have is caffeine. Mm. My mother, my saint of a mother, who's never done anything wrong, who said the word fuck once on accident, drinks coffee. And she's like, it takes me like an hour to get going in the morning. I'm like, I wake up and I go, oh, my eyes go, oh, we're going to be like this for the next 12 or 14 hours. All right, let's fucking go at it.
How much do you sleep an average night, though?
If I'm sober, 7 to 8. So probably anywhere between 6 and 8.
Okay. Like I probably average like 6, and the summer is probably a little less. So,
but if I sleep less than that, I'm just saying I don't have caffeine, and thus I'm better than you because it's the
you take only so many vice. Other drugs and pills.
I know it's between all the drugs, the pill, I shouldn't take the pills anymore. Between the drugs and the alcohol and the women and the vulgarity and the racism and the sexism. And the Islamophobia. And
the one thing you've got on me is coffee. Is that what we're saying?
It's the only vice I don't have.
Well, this isn't a competition anyway. So on Thursday, Hannity's talking about Roy Moore, and he's describing what he did. And he essentially said that one of the encounters was consensual. One of these...
I know exactly what happened here. This is a point of contention. Sure. Hannity had some chick on, and they're talking about Roy Moore. Roy Moore has been accused of making a pass at women, just because I want to say assault. On a 14-year-old, a 16, and a 17-year-old. The 16-year-old, he's reported that he grabbed her head and tried to force her head into his crotch, but she resisted, and he said, and then he stopped. The 14-year-old, it sounds like he was... Again, whatever he did was, or I should say, is accused of doing. He's going to listen and sue me. Roy Moore did it. But what he's accused of, what he said, what he did was he kissed her and maybe touched her. But like, again, we're not talking like even like, you know, he didn't pull a Polanski on the kid or anything like that. So Hannity's talking to this somebody else, and there's this. They're kind of going back and forth and talking about the 16 and the 17-year-olds. And they're talking about, and then it was like, you know, these people and this and that, and Hannity's like, yeah. The girl goes, blah, blah, blah. And then she goes, like, and the 14-year-old Hannity goes, yeah, and it was all consensual. And he's very clearly in the recording referring to the non-14-year-old, but it just kind of came out like Sean Hannity's like, well, the 14-year-old consented to it. So she fucking wanted it. Alabama, yo! Which she may have actually believed in his heart.
Well, so based on that, Hannity took a bunch of heat, and people were, like, protesting for Keurig to pull their sponsorship from his show, which they did. But the funniest part of it was that, like, all these right-wing conservative freaks started breaking their Keurig machines that they already owned and were using. Like, I can see you saying, I'm not going to buy any more coffee, I'm not going to buy a new Keurig because they stopped sponsoring Hannity, or I'm a big Hannity fan. Why anyone is, God only knows, but whatever. I've got my Hannity t-shirt, I'm not going to buy any more Keurig because they pulled out. Fine. But you already paid $200 for this coffee machine, why are you going to throw it out a window or beat it with a bat like they did the fax machine in Office Space? Like, it makes no sense, and is like it's like so self-defeating and stupid.
To sell people do this shit though. Like, it's the exact same dumb fuck mindset of, oh, that fucking athlete left my team, I'm gonna burn the jersey. Like, okay. But you know what? The older I get, or if you want to be a racist, like, you know, why do the Black Lives Matter and all these Rodney King protests? They're just breaking their own fucking windows.
Right.
You're only hurting your own shit, but not with that stuff, but with, you know, breaking the Keurig or burning the jerseys, it's speech. It's a dumb, expensive way to communicate an idea.
But what are you trying to communicate? That Keurig should stay with Hannity if they don't want to?
Yes, that's exactly
like they have a right to be sponsors to whatever show they want. If it's bad for their business, they have the right to pull out. It's not like they did anything. So stupid.
Again, but here's the thing. You have a TV show, uh-huh. right? Like, and the TV show says, I'm going to do an hour of television. And somebody says, I will give you money if you give me 2 minutes of that hour, right? That's exactly how advertising mm-hmm. works. And so the advertisers say, hey, Hannity, you have all these people. We want these people to like us because it's good for our business. But it's not like Keurig did not advertise because they like or dislike Hannity. They literally just care about eyeballs.
Mm-hmm. They're trying to sell coffee. And, yeah.
Exactly. And so the reason why they pulled their advertisements from Hannity is because they believed it was not good for their brand. Because they had gotten a whole bunch of tweets from people going, if you support Hannity, I will not support you. And they go, actually, I think really what happened is, according to the backtracking statement, which probably is true, it sounds like Keurig has a policy where whenever there's anything kind of controversial on anywhere, they're like, we just back off for a month, and then they go back. Yeah. I got the impression that that's their policy, and then some intern's like, yeah, we're just pulling our shit from Hannity. And it's like, it's kind of true, but you made this more political than it should have been. Nonetheless, Keurig advertises with Hannity because it makes them money. They don't advertise with Hannity because it doesn't make them money.
Right.
But it's, and the reason they know this is because a bunch of people said, hey, if you advertise with him, I will not buy your stuff. And they go, oh, shit. This is just people saying, hey, if you pull your ads from him, not only will I not buy your stuff, this is how serious I am. Like, those are people who enjoy your product who are willing to publicly say, fuck your product because of what you've done. These aren't hypothetical consumers. These aren't people saying, if you don't do this, I'll never do it again. These are people who actually enjoy what you're doing and saying, fuck you because of what you did. And Keurig responded,
mm-hmm.
I think it's stupid
yeah.
because you're breaking your own shit. But, you know, people make their points these days. It's the only way somebody has a way to communicate. And, you know, if you're upset, if you own a Keurig, and you're upset with what they did, what are you supposed to do?
I guess film it and film beating it with a bat and put it on Twitter. I guess that's normal.
Hey, it worked. It worked. I'm not saying it's normal, but it's... I don't know. What is it? Better than throwing it away? Or if, look at it this way. You're somebody, and you love Sean Hannity. And
but you're also defending the guy who said it was probably consensual.
No.
Like, what the hell are you doing?
No. That's different. It. Now you're saying that no reaction to what Curry did would ever be appropriate.
That's not what I'm saying.
No. It is. If you want to say, ultimately, you're going with the guy who's defending the pedophile, which I actually agree with. I don't know why anybody – that's not the hill you die on. It's not Sean Hannity defending Roy Moore. But if that's your point, then it doesn't matter if they break a Keurig or if they just send a tweet. Either way, it's the same
outcome. I understand what you're saying. I think it's just dumb in multiple ways.
But it's just a way to get more attention and to let Keurig know, nah, I'm really serious with
right.
this.
Right, it's a way to get attention for a dumbass cause, which I guess is
fine. Oh, yeah.
Whatever.
But, again, the nature of whether it's a dumbass cause or not is that's in the eye of the beholder.
True.
And, no, it really is. Because, look at it this way. Somebody, and I think it would be very fair for somebody to say, look, what Sean Hannity said was taken out of context, and let's give him the benefit of the doubt. I love Sean Hannity. He's been doing this for years. He does an hour every day, 5 days a week on air, on TV. He does 3 hours of radio every single day. It's pretty fucking impressive to do, you know, 20 hours a week of saying shit. And he's since come out with what, again, you've missed the actual punchline of this. Sean Hannity came up with his 24-hour deadline. And he told Roy Moore, you have 24 hours to provide credible reasons why I shouldn't say you suck, basically.
It sounds like a WWE angle.
It's so awesome, isn't it? It's amazing. But, setting aside the fact that we know this is all theatrics, for everybody who's like a Hannity follower, they could be like, see, Keurig? If you just waited a day or two, if you didn't just listen to all these liberals on Twitter, you would have seen that Hannity actually said, 24 hours or I run you out of town, like the great cowboy that he is. And that's how this works. We're all gonna die, and none of us will know, because we'll just be hooked up to the machine, because we're all fucking dumb.
On the topic of sexual assault, Terry Crews was on, I think, Good Morning America today, and he was talking about the guy who grabbed his cock at a party. I don't know if we ever really talked about this story.
No comment.
Because it was, this is like one of the weirder.
Because there's so many of them, we only have so many hours today.
Well, it's a unique one because it's true. A big, muscular dude who you wouldn't think would be a victim of sexual assault. But I guess it can happen to anybody.
That's power for you, motherfucker.
Yeah. So apparently the guy, and this also translates a little bit to the MMA world, in the fact that his assailant's name is Adam Vennett. He is the head of the motion picture department at William Morris Endeavor, i.e. WME. And he's been an agent to many celebrities. I think they mentioned Adam Sandler, Mark Wahlberg maybe. A bunch of big names select.
Did William Morris have something to do with cigarettes?
That I don't know.
That sounds kind of familiar. They really are the most evil company ever.
Crews said he's connected to everyone I know in the business. Crews claimed that the executive was acting strange when they first met at a party in February of 2016. I'm looking at him and he's basically staring at me, said the actor, and he's sticking his tongue out and it's overtly sexual kind of tongue moves. I'm sitting there like, it's a party, it's packed, the whole thing, and I'm looking like, is this a joke? I don't understand. It was actually so bizarre, and he keeps coming over to me, and I stick my hand out, and he literally takes his hand and puts it and squeezes my genitals. I jump back like, hey, hey, and he's still licking his tongue out and all this stuff, and I go, dude, what are you doing? What are you doing? Then he comes back again, and he just won't stop. Then I really got forceful, pushed him back. He bumps into all the other partygoers, and he starts giggling and laughing. Let me tell you, I've never felt more emasculated, more objectified. I was horrified.
So he met a man that was on ecstasy.
When I looked at him, it was rage. I felt like I could punch a hole in his head. But this is the deal. My wife told me 3 years earlier, Terry, you can never handle any situation like this with violence. You are a target. You can be baited and pulled. So they essentially left the party.
How is Terry Crews a target? Oh, yeah, let's take on the gigantic Jack Black guy.
Just a weird story. And it's interesting that William Morris is involved, the company that now owns the UFC.
There's something, like, almost, like, oddly respectable about that executive. I mean, think about how much fucking power you have to look at a human being, just another human being, lick your lips at them. Like, look at them suggestively. Lick your lips. Know that you could walk up to this person and just grab their dick. Mm-hmm. And you know this person doesn't want you to. You can grab their dick. You've done this before. And you expect it to work. And you can do this to a gigantic black dude who's like 250 and ripped. That's fucking power. Like, there's something kind of like respectable about someone that has so much power, they can go pure evil. That's not even the veneer of come up to my hotel room or would just like to watch me masturbate or any of this shit. This is, I will fucking grab you by the dick just because I can. It's a weird way to think of a human being who literally looks at everybody in the room is a rape victim in waiting. That's crazy power, man. And they can do it in front of everyone. Oh, man. What a fucking power that is. And that guy is responsible, probably very responsible, for all of the art in America. The very art that shapes and molds our views, our values, is being determined by some crazy motherfucker who licks his lips and grabs some dicks just because he can.
Speaking of crazy motherfuckers who lick their lips, Charles Manson's in a California hospital with an unclear illness, but it appears that it's just going to be a matter of time.
I saw that, and it was kind of weird.
Where were you sad?
I don't... of course. Like recognizes like. I don't know, it's something weird, like Charles Manson. Like, it's really... It's just a commentary on the nature of pop culture and society. Because Charles Manson's a fucking monster who obviously killed people and helped other people kill people. And yet, because he became a celebrity, it's kind of a joke. Like, you look at every on the news every day, and we see all these people that shoot and murder, and we go, what monsters? And yet, Charles Manson's a punchline. Society is doomed. We're all bad people.
Speaking of, we got great segues today. Speaking of bad people, R. Kelly is back in the news. This time not for pissing on a little girl. He apparently bullied an autistic fan into singing one of the...
Fucking Christ, are you serious? How do you top pissing on a minor? Oh, let's find a retard bullying.
I'll try and play the audio for you for this one. Basically, outside a club, this fan bumped into R. Kelly, and R. Kelly recorded his interaction with him and put it up on Instagram.
What?
I will play.
What? He bumped into a... So, a retard hangs outside the hottest nightclub in L.A., runs into R. Kelly. R. Kelly insults the retard.
I don't think R. Kelly is one of the hottest nightclubs anymore, but go on.
Well, neither are retards. And then R. Kelly videotapes his response thinking, this will make me look cool. And meanwhile, I sit on the internet talking about this, even though I'm intellectually aware that he's not retarded, autism is a different deal, I'm calling the kid a retard.
Yeah, retard is insensitive. But anyway,
yeah. Here
we go. You ready?
About six or seven years ago, when I was a kid, I played a lot of video games, okay? That's what I did more. You know, I'm in the music again. Sing a song, bro. I believe I can. Yeah, sing it. I can't. No, seriously, man, I can't sing anything, man, okay? I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. I think about it every night and day. Spread her wings and fly away. I believe that you high. I believe that you're touching the sky. Smoking on that Percocet. Think of where you going, tell me what's next. I believe that you blow.
So basically, R. Kelly baits the kid into singing, I Believe I Can Fly. Then he makes fun of him and says he's high on Percocets when the kid's really just autistic. And now the family's going to try and sue R. Kelly.
I know I have a predilection to trying to make jokes, one-liners. I'm not joking. I'm not trying to make a commentary.
Yes.
I legitimately did not know who was who in that video.
Well, you couldn't see it.
But I mean, I could not hear the difference. I did not know who was singing.
Oh, you could tell R. Kelly.
No, I could not.
What?
I thought the whole thing was R. Kelly.
No, hang on. Okay.
No, at the end, I understood that at the end, I'm like, oh, maybe that's R. Kelly, but the other guy, I'm like, I don't know, maybe R. Kelly just fucking with him, it's a poor recording. So what I'm saying is R. Kelly sounds like a fucking autistic retard that he's making fun of, which makes me better than both of them.
Here, hang on, here's the kid singing, you ready? This is the kid.
Yeah.
I believe I can touch the sky, I think about it every night.
night and day. Spread her wings and fly away. I believe
that's R. Kelly.
Yeah, I thought R. Kelly was drunk. Like I'm saying, I thought that was drunk R. Kelly.
Well, R. Kelly's claiming he thought the kid was fucked up, but he was really autistic.
I think everybody that in that sounds fucked up.
I thought R. Kelly also sounded pretty good for coming out of the club. He sounded pretty similar to the song, I thought. I don't know.
I think that this is one of those, the term, the bigotry of low expectations, or soft expectations. It's the idea that we hold the minorities to a lesser standard than we would hold ourselves to, which is a form of racism. Nowhere is that more apparent than the fact that R. Kelly is still a star.
He's not. And he is not a star anymore.
He is free and has a career. And think about everything that anybody's been accused of lately. R. Kelly did that, and then he pissed on a 14-year-old. He didn't just try to have sex with her. He pissed on her.
Yeah.
Like, I was just talking about the guy that's got so much power that he can just grab Terry Crews' dick. Well, that's the same kind of power that says, I'm going to piss on a 14-year-old. You're not even want to have sex with her. You're not looking and going, this is young youth, and as, you know, my genes say that a man desires to have the youngest and fittest woman. And this is like, no, I'm going to piss on her because this is the most fucked up thing I can think to do. And he's free, and there's still people that love him.
Yeah, it's baffling.
Michael Jack, I remember I was a clerk. I was clerking for a judge when Michael Jackson died, and that was the weirdest fucking moment because all of the black people were really sad, and I was like, but he's a rapist. He's a pedophile rapist. What the fuck is, what's going on here? I was really confused. I didn't, from the few times in my life, I didn't say anything, but I'm like, but he fucked little children. Why are you guys sad? This isn't a hero. But, you know, I'm just, again, black people are just inferior. I'm just saying. Hey, Richard Spencer, thanks for the advertisement.
Steven Tyler's.
The worst part, by the way, everybody, is I actually can tell that Matt's laughing a little bit. Most of you probably can't, so when this is taken out of context years from now, so I'm just going to be like, what the fuck? This isn't even, like, close. He's not even pretending. He's just saying, fuck the Jews and the blacks.
Steven Tyler says Ric Flair is totally full of shit when he says he banged 10,000 chicks and masturbated twice a day for his whole wrestling career.
Huh. I mean, I'm only making sounds now, so you don't think I cut off, but
there.
I mean, this is how Rome fell. We have 2 70-year-old septuagenarian former stars arguing about how many times a day you can have sex with strangers who only care about you because of your celebrity. And that's what we know about. Guarantee that every single person listening to this right now, if I ask them, what does an Article 5 amendment to the Constitution mean? Could not tell me anything, and yet they would have an opinion on whether Steven Tyler, Ric Flair, or maybe Wilt Chamberlain fucked more. We all deserve what's coming next. We all deserve all of it. We deserve to die, and we can only hope that whatever knowledge we have accumulated will be preserved so that when the Neanderthals of the future get to a certain level, they will have our knowledge now without any of our fucked up shit, because we all deserve to die.
We're all going to. I can promise you that much.
Speak for yourself.
Oh, I will. Did you hear that we have a new world's most expensive painting? Sold today.
It is a Da Vinci, which is one of apparently 50 paintings that Da Vinci did in total, which is crazy because it's Da Vinci. I thought he did more than that. And yeah, it's like $100 million was the initial offering price, and I'm guessing you probably know what the final price was.
$450,312,000. $1,500.
Honestly, when I first saw the story, like I had the Fox News or whatever, it was Fox News, it wasn't CNN, the Fox on in the background, and they're like, there's going to be a Da Vinci painting sold. My first reaction was, you can't do that. You can't sell a painting from Leonardo da Vinci. What are you, fucking mine? It's a Da Vinci. But when I hear that it went for $500 million, I'm like, no, that's exactly how much it costs to own a Da Vinci. Yeah, if I had $500 million to blow, I'd probably buy that and be like, yeah. And I would just fuck people underneath it and then pee on 14-year-olds, because that's real power.
Well, it's amazing. The last Da Vinci sold in 2001, and it's called Horse and Rider. That went for $11.4 million. This one went for $450 million. Like, holy shit. What a...
fucking, inflation's a bitch.
What a markup. This one's called... it's a painting of...
of Christ, yeah.
Jesus. It's called Savior of the World.
It looks like a pretty good painting. I think that's part of it, is like, this is a good one. This isn't some, you know, doodle he did while he's on the shitter or something.
And then the other one is the bid, how the bidding went. This was an auction. It lasted 20 minutes. It's two final bidders battling out. The bid jumped from...
Was it Rory McDonald on Bitcoin?
Maybe. That's only like, what, 40 or 50 Bitcoin. The bids jumped from $370 million to $400 million, and then to the final price of $450 million. Like, can you imagine being like, all right, this guy just did $370, I'll go $400, and that should get it for me. This guy's not going to go any higher. $400 million. Then the fucker next to you goes $450? Like, holy shit, they've got some money to blow.
I'm obviously not big into class warfare shit, but like, these people are deciding to raise on a whim $30 million, and that is enough money that I could probably take care of five generations. And yet they're just like,
easy.
You know, they're just raising a little panel. $400 million. Oh, yes.
Yeah, or, like, imagine what that money could do for, like, the Honduras, like, soccer team. Like, they'd be able to get a direct flight, no problem.
Here's the thing. Who do you blame in that situation, though?
Honduras.
Of course. But you can blame the guy who's going to say, oh, how can he spend $400 million for the painting, which is fair. But what about the person who wanted to make $400 million from it?
Right.
You know, like, these people are doing this for... I assume they're not doing it for charitable purposes. But I don't know. On the other... But even then, it's like... Well, where will we put it? What museum would get this? Would it be Chicago? Would it be Paris? Would it be my basement? By which I mean my mother's basement. But still...
Make sure the dehumidifier's on.
It would be next to the bloody Anthony Pettis stuff.
Savior of the World is one of some 16 known surviving paintings, including the Mona Lisa by Da Vinci. So it's super rare. The others are scattered throughout museums around the world.
Dear Donald Trump, since I know you listen, I didn't vote for you last time. Probably won't vote for you next time. But if you take all the money America has and you buy the Mona Lisa, I will fucking vote for you. Alternatively, if you want to take some troops in there and just take it by force, that'd be even better.
Jesus. In 1958, there was a collection that was auctioned off in pieces with Salvatore Mundi, which I guess is another one of his famous paintings, going for £45, which translates to $125 US today. $125.
I mean,
it's fucking crazy, man.
Well, they were worried about the Nazis or something, I don't know.
In 58? I hope not.
Look, people are worried about fucking Nazis today, so they should have been worried about them in 1958.
Maybe. I mean,
they were still alive in Argentina.
There's some stuff I think even if I had money, like, I wouldn't care about, and old paintings is one of them. Another one is cars. Like, I buy a new car, but I'm not going to be Conor McGregor driving around in a Ferrari. I just don't have an appreciation or care about him.
Yeah, like if I had that, look, if I had an extra $500 million laying around, I actually wouldn't buy that kind of payment. I'd buy it like a sports team or something, which honestly, that's probably just as dumb if you're French or whatever. You'd be like, really? Like if you like love art, you'd be like, you want to buy 10 years of managing a baseball team when you could have the pleasure of an original Da Vinci? I'd be like, yeah, fuck you, I want to sit in the owner's box. And I guess it's just, you know, everybody's got their weird shit that they like, and you and I would be like, no, I don't need to have 37 Lamborghinis. I just like to have a really nice Hummer and a driver. But it's, you know, it's just, I also think that it's the idea that people live with up to their means. They don't live within their means. They live up to their means. And so, you know, more money, more problems, which is the theme of this show. I got to get that for the opening now. So what I'm saying is that I would not buy the Mona Lisa, but I would buy the UFC.
Mm. Well, also then, it's like, what do you do with that painting? You like, how do you, you just put it on a wall, you build a museum, you have people come see it, like, I'd rather do have something that will keep me entertained and busy, and like I feel like even if I had a lot of money, I would still work somehow, no matter what it was. No. Do you know what I mean? Like I'm the type of person who needs that. I can't just live on an island forever.
No, if you get that painting, you put that as your profile picture on Tinder, and you say, "Would you like to see one of only 16 paintings that exist on the planet from Leonardo da Vinci? Be here at something PM, PS, bring me back."
Do you think if Leonardo da Vinci stopped sponsoring Hannity, people would destroy his paintings?
Yeah. The truth is that important.
I don't care how much this thing's worth. I'm defending Sean Hannity. So, in closing, we need to follow up on the story from Edmonton from last week with the naked kidnappers. I have more details. I know you've been waiting for this.
I really have.
All right. So here we go. An Alberta family allegedly kidnapped by a group of naked neighbors who may have unknowingly drunk some hallucinogenic tea say it was a frightening experience.
Ayahuasca. I guarantee it was ayahuasca.
What is that?
Ayahuasca is, it's a hallucinogenic tea. It's legal. It's used in a lot of First Peoples ceremonies and things like that. It's a variation of DMT, dimethyltryptamine, which is a very potent hallucinogenic that Joe Rogan talks about a lot. It's sometimes called the God. There's something about seeing God with it. I have not actually done it, but it's legal. If you buy this stuff, you can just boil it in your own pot at home.
Sounds
anyways,
weird.
Let's hear about these weird... It's probably just bath salts with them, but, you know.
Family members say until they learn more facts about what happened, they don't know how to feel about the ordeal. We just don't have enough information, said one family member who asked not to be named. We have no answers as to whether anything was purposely taken or not purposely taken. The family members were reluctant to share their experience because of the ongoing court case. They are all members of the same Jehovah's Witness church, though.
Are you fucking shitting me?
No.
They fucking were friends with Prince? That's awesome.
Maybe they were trying to cope from Prince's death and we're drinking the tea to cope.
So now we know what it sounds like when doves cry.
That makes sense.
That's one of Prince's big songs.
I know, I get the reference, but no, I don't know.
This story is what it sounds like when they cry.
Okay. When one of the females accused showed up at the family's home in Edmonton, clothed and acting frantic, they thought there must be an emergency. But the family said with her were four other people who were naked, and the family was forced outside and into a BMW. The man was allegedly put in the
trunk. I'm sorry, hold on. The family's naked. They were forced.
No. The kidnappers. So one girl shows up at these people's house, like their neighbor's house, clothed, and says, "Oh, come on outside, bring your kid into the 17-degree weather." And they get outside, and there's four naked people out there waiting for them.
And then they all get... So the clothed person gets corralled by the naked people into a BMW.
Yeah, the dad, the mom, and the little baby.
So the naked people
are the kidnappers.
Have the keys to the BMW? Mm-hmm. Where do they keep the keys?
Maybe the clothed girl had them. Or maybe they left the car running because it was cold outside.
Or it's up their ass.
Yeah. I didn't go there, but I'm not surprised you did.
Go on with the fucking story.
Well, I think we know the rest of it. I think the interesting facts are that they're blaming it on this tea that they say is from India, but the family was allegedly... Hang on here. The father of the girls, ages 13 and 15, has said his daughters and their mother were having breakfast Monday morning with another couple when they decided to have some tea recently brought back from a trip overseas. The father said the tea was from India, but the family that was allegedly kidnapped said one of the accused had traveled earlier in the year to Thailand and South Korea.
Oh, really? Are they fucking arguing over what foreign country provided the magical naked rape kidnap tea? That's the detail we need to worry about right now. Well, I thought it was from India. Well, I thought it was from Thailand. Oh, that explains why your dick's in my face and your balls are in my mouth.
Well, there's only one guy. Here's the thing that's so weird. It's like, if this is a...
One thing.
No, there's so many things. They're all Jehovah's Witnesses, which, whatever. We'll start with that. His name...
Well, you can't say, which is whatever. That's the weirdest... That's like a weirdo religion thing that was so powerful that Prince was part of it. And yet here they are naked, drinking teas. It causes boners.
My thing is all religions are weird. So, like, I can get past the Jehovah's Witness thing. But then, like, there's four or five people. They're sitting around drinking this hallucinogenic tea in the middle of the day in Edmonton. It's 17 degrees out. And whatever happens...
One of them's a child.
All of a sudden, they think that we'll go next door and kidnap these people. And we'll take all our clothes off. Put the dad in the trunk. Put the mom and the baby in the car with us naked. Then everyone escapes. The kidnapped people escape from the car. They get in a truck. And then all the high, hallucinating tea drinker Jehovah's Witnesses decide to ram the truck into a ditch. Like, the whole thing is insane, and I think it should be a bigger story. It's sad it's in Edmonton. It should be in America.
If it was in America, it'd be in Florida.
It would be. There's Mounties showing up. There's pictures now of, like, the naked people being put in handcuffs and stuff. We got pictures of the ditch. There's more info out there, more than there is on Stephen Paddock. But,
Don't fucking troll me like that.
There's stuff out there. I just don't think there's nothing new. Well,
there's nothing new.
What do you want? What are you looking for?
I don't know. Anything at all? When did he buy the guns? Where did he get them from? Why did he do this? How did he vote? What were his political leanings? What did he do for a job? Not some vague bullshit. He made some money. When did he gamble? What are the fucking pictures of him in the fucking casino? What the fuck? It's the fucking most videotaped fucking place on the fucking planet, and there's not a single fucking still frame of his fucking guy bringing $5,000 billion for the guns and murdering bullets that could mow down people. Nobody's giving me even this shit. I've fucking seen the World Trade Center get blown up from 57,000 angles, and nobody's got a fucking picture of this dude in the casino. Not even a grainy one. This is some bullshit. That fucking dickhead that murdered all those people in Texas, we knew right away. We knew his name. We knew that he was in the military. We knew he was married. We knew he had a second wife. We knew he had a child. We knew he'd be convicted in the military of hitting his wife and child. We knew he'd be discharged from the military. We know where he bought the guns. We know that he applied for a fucking concealed carry permit in Texas and been turned down. We know that that did not have anything to do with him being able to buy a gun. We know all that shit within about 2 or 3 days, and here we are 2 fucking months later, we don't know fucking thing about this dude in Vegas. What the fuck is going on? This is fucking weird.
Right, but, like, here's the thing. Like, if you... The first question you said, where did he buy the guns? And I type in, where did Stephen Paddock buy the guns? And there's an article, there's articles that tell you where he bought the guns. 8 gun shops in California and Nevada. Some were chains, some were mom and pops. Like, if you, it's out there. I just don't think it really got, for whatever reason, publicized.
Why didn't it get any, it's the biggest mass shooting in the history of America, and it's not being fouled up on? What the fuck? There's something really weird. And I don't mean this is some weirdo conspiracy. I'm just like, I don't know what's going... We don't know why he did it. And now do we not know why.
But isn't it possible you don't know why? Maybe he's just fucking nuts. No, he didn't tell anyone what his motive was. He didn't want anybody to know he was going to do it.
But we have no idea about what... We don't have any theories about why. Like, usually when somebody does something, you can be like, and we'll go, we don't really know why, but, oh, well, he had this poster up in his room where he hated Hillary, but he also had problems with Voltron and the reboot of Power Rangers. So like, there's usually something where you go, oh, okay, this guy shot 26 people in Texas, but his mother-in-law went to that church. You're like, okay, even if maybe that's not the reason. Maybe that's completely 1,000% wrong, but there's something. Nobody's given this any reason.
Right.
Not even like a pretend, like, we had a lot of gambling debt. No hint of a gambling debt.
But when the person, like, immediately kills himself after, it's hard to... Like, what was Oswald's motive in killing Kennedy? Like,
he's John fucking Kennedy. He's the president of the United States, and Oswald had been to Russia before.
Right.
They went to Mexico. He clearly just was a con.
But it's hard to... Well... I mean, Kennedy was the most left-leaning president they were going to have.
But it doesn't matter. But again, he's crazy, but there's something that crazy said, okay. Well, it doesn't mean he's right. He's obviously fucking out of his mind.
Right.
We don't have the he's out of his fucking mind reason why this guy did it. We don't have nothing. Like, if somebody said he did it because his next-door neighbor's dog told him to do it, you'd be like, okay, there's something. They're not even giving us... Fat.
Right. But maybe, like I said, maybe he didn't tell anybody anything and he's dead. What can you do as far as motive? But like the other stuff you're talking about, like...
What does his girlfriend have to say?
That I don't know.
She
want me to find out?
Nobody fucking... There's been no major interview with his girlfriend. The fucking woman who lived with the mass murderer who a week earlier shipped her to fucking the Philippines... And guess what? Even if you find something, which you won't actually, but even if you did, the fact that it's not major news says that nothing would have come of it.
But I think that there's two things. One is that the news cycle is so quick and people forget and move on. Like, nobody else is even talking about it anymore. Do you know what I mean? And part of that's because...
Remember the guy who shot everybody in Orlando?
What about him?
Do you remember the details?
Is that Pulse? Pulse Nightclub? Is that what we're talking about?
You know the name of the nightclub?
Yeah.
I guarantee right now you know that he was identified at one point as Muslim. Yes. You know the nightclub was gay. You have an idea that he either did it because he hated gays or maybe he was latently homosexual.
Yes.
You know that. We don't have that with this guy. We don't have anything. Nothing. We don't have one bullshit thing. We don't have the idea that somebody says, well, he lost a little bit of money at the casino. We don't know if he lost money at the casino recently or made money.
So I Google... Whatever, Stephen Paddock girlfriend. And there's an article right away. Mary Lou Daniel told FBI officers she thought the 64-year-old had developed mental health problems before the massacre. He would lie in bed screaming at night.
Okay, what does that mean, though?
I don't know, but I'm just saying.
I mean, like, okay, like, seriously, could there be a more vague version of, well, he's crazy, then he lied in bed and he yelled? Again, I don't think this is like some bullshit conspiracy, but if it's going to be a bullshit conspiracy, that's the most vague thing ever.
The one thing I...
Because he's obviously cognizant enough to purchase guns at multiple gun stores around the country, rent a room for days on end, gamble without raising his suspicions, bring thousands of guns and rounds up to his room and not get seen, but he lied awake at night and was screaming like a crazy person? Like, what he did is not the actions of somebody that is like you're babbling in the street, shitting on them, on their dick, crazy. Like, this is the Mike Coughlin becomes Adolf Hitler crazy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the thing I find weird is there's never any footage of him really released. That's kind of weird.
Which I kind of understand on some level that somebody controlled that. Like, you know.
I mean, I didn't realize there's pictures of the room he was in when he was shooting.
Yeah.
And there's a picture of him on the
cops pictures.
Huh.
It's the fucking cops pictures, man. Yeah. Like, honestly, I'm going to Vegas a couple weeks, as you know. And this just lets me know that I can do anything I fucking want. No one's going to watch.
Oh, maybe they are now.
I'm going to fucking kill her just to see what it feels like. And I don't even have to pay the $500. It'd be great.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying. Like, you would expect there to be a lot more coverage, but, I mean, I think people's attention spans and the way the news cycle works, and you always hear these arguments that the media shouldn't glorify the killer and they should let the killer go, and you talk about the victims and that sort of stuff, and it moved quickly to gun control. I don't know. I understand where you're coming from, but if you look a little further, you can find the stuff you're asking about.
I mean, I know it's 90% just weird shit does happen. It's not some grand. I know it's not some grand conspiracy because there's no point to it. Like, if you want to tell me something's a conspiracy, you should have to tell me why, at least. Like, there's no why behind this. If we've already forgot about it, it's not like it's really somebody's like, all right, guys, here's the deal. We want to get rid of guns. We don't like guns. We hate guns in America. So what we're going to do, we're going to have a dude go to Las Vegas and pull out a fucking machine gun and shoot 500 country music fans. He's going to kill over 50 of them. And once we do this, finally, we will have the crazy event that makes America say, we're done with guns. And what, 3 weeks later, like, fuck it, let's do 24 people in Texas instead. Like, you're not going to fuck up the giant mega thing. You're not going to do the giant conspiracy to shoot 500 people. 500 people and then dwarf it with the, 24 Christians in Texas. That's not how it works. And yet, there's all these weird fucking questions, and I'm like, oh shit, this is how it starts. And then 5 years, when I'm making millions of dollars after I have killed and skull fucked Alex Jones for his title, you'll all know why. Because of this case.
Let's end on a bit of a lighter note.
Skull fucking Alex Jones is very light.
So obviously the U.S. soccer team blows and they didn't make the World Cup. But apparently Italy didn't make it for the first time in 80 years. Is that more embarrassing? What does that mean in the world of sport?
Oh, boy. It's obviously more embarrassing in the sense of your average American has no idea that this has happened to America, whereas every single human being in Italy is like, we're about to kill themselves over this. Like, this is one of those things where, you know, I followed soccer for a long time, and it's like, Italy's won, and they're good, but you kind of get used to certain teams, and every analyst I've seen has been like, I can't imagine a World Cup without Italy in it. It's kind of like, you know, I don't know, having an NBA Finals without the Warriors in it right now or something. But it's just odd because they lost to Sweden. And Sweden's not horrible, but it's also Europe. Like, if to qualify for the World Cup through Europe, you have to actually be a good team. Mm-hmm. For America to qualify, you have to basically not be horseshit. So America not qualifying is really bad. Mm-hmm. But Italy not qualifying, like, a week after America didn't qualify, Bruce Arena was on Fox Sports 1 doing some in-studio commentating for a U.S. friendly. And maybe a month later. But, like, and nobody, like, everybody's like, oh, whatever. After Italy lost, the head coach, the manager of the squad, had a police escort back to his home so he didn't get killed. Like, they take things a little more serious over there than we do here in America. And that's why they're better at a game involving kicking a ball around like little fairies. Little fancy boys.
And just now, I guess Peru is going to be in the World Cup for the first time in 35 years.
Really? Who did they beat?
Another country.
There you go.
I don't know.
By the way, one of the great things I love about the World Cup is all these international lefty types who are, you know, open borders and this and that, yet their favorite thing in the fucking world is to watch the World Cup. Just these dumbass things that completely solidify the idea that somehow German and French people are different. And yet they are. So therefore, the World Cup undermines the George Soros-funded globalist agenda that Steve Bannon fights so hard against.
Figure out who Peru beat. But they're in. So Italy didn't...
Peru's one of those small countries below us.
They're in South America. Oh, wow, they beat New Zealand 2-0.
And they're in the World Cup for that?
According to my news on Twitter, yes.
Interesting, because I know that Honduras and I wrote the article there, and Australia played for a play-in game. I didn't know that Peru and New Zealand had a play-in game. Interesting. I haven't heard about that at all. That doesn't sound right. I think you're wrong.
Well, you can prove me wrong next week on the next. Oh, next week's like Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I have no idea what we're going to do for that. Because I'm going to South Dakota this mm-hmm. weekend to take care of my grandmother. And so I'm not bringing my recording shit with me. So I don't know. But I'm not giving up on this streak.
Yeah, we'll figure something out.
It's important to me.
We'll just do a quickie or something.
That's the way I like it.
All right. Good talking to you. We will be back next week. Maybe somewhere, sometime on halfguarded.com, iTunes, Google Play. Thanks for listening. Catch you next week. Bye.
I'm finished.